Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Per reports, the NBA presented three anti-tanking proposals to its Board of Governors. Proposal 1, 18 teams will be up for the draft lottery, the last 10 with an 8% chance of moving up. Proposal 2, the same amount would be eligible but ranked by record the last two seasons. And Proposal 3, the teams with the five worst records will have the same odds. They'll be voted on in May. Baseball, Reds were blanked by the Red Sox 3-0 Thursday, while the Guardians edged the Mariners 6-4 behind Chase DeLauter's two homers. Tonight, the Clippers start their 49th season at the Iowa Cubs at 8:08. College hoops, Sweet 16 tonight. St. John's and Duke start the slate at 7:10, followed by Alabama and Michigan, Michigan State and UConn, then Tennessee and Iowa State. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
So where's the office back at Division?
In office, baby. Going up.
All right, here we go. Great to have you with us, Rothman and Ice. As we get going with Sweet 16, jackets, pressure cooker, a myriad of guests, trades that we're either on that are now off. We'll talk Buckeyes. We got it all. Iceman, how you feeling?
What up? I'm feeling good, brother. I'm feeling good. We've reached another Friday. We've reached another weekend, and the sports calendar is popping. And so, yeah, I got nothing to complain about. How you doing? Yeah. You good?
Outstanding.
Good, man.
I got up early today. I was going to do, well, not early.
A little workout
What did you do today? No, I mean, I had, every year I do the blood work. Yeah. You know, Dr. Carpenter orders lab work. And so I was going to go do lab work. And when you do that, you can't eat, you know, in the morning, which I don't eat that much in the morning anyway.
Okay.
But, you know, I try to guzzle as much. I don't drink a lot of water, but on the days where I'm doing lab work, I want that 10W30. I want that thing just.
Which, by the way, we gotta up the water intake. Yeah. I didn't like hearing that. What is it that, because you do drink a lot of like vitamin waters and stuff like that, but
not a lot.
We need to get you on the gallon a day program.
That's
rough. What we need.
But anyway, I like to do it because I like, on the days I do lab, I just have this thing in my mind that says that if I drink a lot of water, that's going to be a fine vintage. Yeah. That is going to come out, and that's going to be like crystal waters. It's going to be perfect. And I get there, and usually when you do lab work at like 9:30 in the morning, you can just coast right in because all the other people that have been fasting as well, they want to eat. They want to get in there early so they can eat breakfast and do that.
Of course.
I cruise in right after the rush hour. There are like six people in there, and I'm like, I really can't wait. I mean, I got to do a show. And so I blew it off. Yeah.
Okay.
Blew it off.
Are you?
Yeah, we'll reschedule.
What time is it? 12:03 right now? Because you were fasting. Are you hangry right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty hangry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so we might get some spicy takes on you now.
No,
I'm here for this.
I'm all
hangry AR.
I'll tell you where I am a little hangry.
Okay, talk to me.
Well, yeah, I'm hangry that CBJ lost last night, but that's.
That'll be all right.
You know.
That'll be all right.
I don't know where my concern level is. I was thinking about this coming in, and I'm not like you, man. I didn't turn those machines on. I didn't.
Hey, I was only moving.
I was in placing orders. You're taking orders.
I was moving that way because Vegas told me I could move that way. When I said the three most magical words in sports radio the other day, the value of the Jackets getting to the playoffs was -320. How could I not get everybody fired up at the factory to say, get the machines rolling. It's time to print the shirts. And I'm still there, 10 toes down after what happened last night. I'm not budging off that take. A little choppy waters right now. But they'll figure it out. They'll be fine.
Yeah, can't put the biscuit in the basket right now. That's a problem. And it's not anything that I feel like is a confidence thing. And I watched, by the way, horrible setup last night, watching the Purdue game come down to the wire and having the Jackets down to the wire in the last few minutes. Those things were simultaneous. Yeah. I wish I would have taken some notes because it was exactly the time where I had to have my on the last button, and I'm not going to be the dual guy.
Let me ask you this, AR, because you have the laptop going, right?
Yeah.
Do you watch live games on the laptop?
Only when there's a game on ESPN Plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have the ESPN Unlimited package? Is that what you have?
Unlimited.
It's the Unlimited.
No, I don't have any Unlimited package.
Okay, because I was a sucker and I bought that, and I bought the MLB.TV thing as well, so I could watch all of those games. But yeah, you got it. We got to get you a tablet or something.
No, Mr. I don't
Unlimited.
Any tablets.
Taking future son on recruiting visits to Texas and stuff. I saw that picture going around the other day. Incredible. Just awkward, but you know, hey, he's the daddy that stepped up.
Yeah, this is not, I don't look at the Jackets right now as being like all, you know, squeezing the stick and feeling like I don't sense that. There were a couple on the doorstep that they should have buried last night. Marchie had one on the doorstep. There was a great kick save. And by the way, they were going against a goalie who played at Ohio State, Jakub Dobish. He was very good last night. Jet was pretty good as we could hope for. And they, you know, the first goal of the game was scored by Jaden Struble, who hasn't scored this year for Montreal. Hasn't scored.
It's like, of course, he was against us, right?
He was 80-1 to score the game's first goal last night.
Only against us type stuff.
And we outshot them 8-2, and we were out shooting them 8-2, and we were down 1-0. So that's hockey for you in a nutshell. And Hockey and Hounds bump from Sivo, but then what we giveth, we taketh away. I'm not really sure where he is with the upper body injury, but Sivo scored on a break. He just basically beat everybody down the ice, and it was a great shot. It was stick side. It was awesome. I was happy to see that for Sivo after we just had him on. And then, you know, Marchment, who's been unbelievably great, and I do not even want to enter into trying to be negative about it, but last night, you know, he had a breakaway, got it a little bit too deep, so Dobish was able to save it, and then the last one was just, I wouldn't call it a layup with nobody guarding him. He didn't miss that, but it was like a quick flipper by Montreal, and he was just, it was almost too good to be true, or we tie that game and we get a point out of it. So he probably didn't sleep very well last night. And then we also had to go on the kill in the last couple minutes, which stunk. So I'll say this, that we're still fine. Mm-hmm. Like, we're fine. I'm not doing what you're doing, but I think they're okay. And I'm not taking orders on shirts, and this isn't a pre-order.
You did
the pre-order.
They're on the way.
So here we are. Third in the Metro, 87 points. We still have a game in hand on the Islanders. Didn't get any scoreboard help last night, but that's okay. We're not into...
don't need it.
Well, you like it, but...
make our own luck.
And come so on. This is where they stand at 87. Now, to your point, Las Vegas still believes. They more than believe.
Of course.
Right now, they got the Jackets as a 77% chance to make the postseason. That would imply about a minus 330. So that's around where it was. I think it was minus 340 when I told you last week.
I'm saying the shirts are still going to get delivered, folks. So those pre-orders that AR is talking about, you will get that t-shirt in your mailbox soon enough for sure. You touched on it. I rewound the Marchment thing probably about five times.
The last one.
Yeah.
The one that would have tied it.
And I'm just like, I think 9 out of 10 times he would knock that in.
I think out of 10 times that puck accidentally goes in.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Between the guy that you mentioned that hadn't scored a goal all year, Marchment swinging and missing on that. It was one of those nights. Right now, too, our guy Marchenko, he doesn't have it right now just as far as scoring goals, and we know how important he is to that category, just to the team success when you're looking at six games in a row now to where he hasn't scored a goal. And then Fantilli as well is on a little bit of a cold streak with goals as well, with four straight games without a goal too. And those guys being top two, top three on the team right now in goal output this year, like that, it's just one of those nights. But the goaltending is very encouraging, right? Especially from Jet, because you can take that on the road. Obviously, having that at home, that's going to play wherever you are. So if that continues, I think the offense is going to come back around. I didn't think it was a bad outing at all. Two goalies that played well last night, and for whatever reason, you just couldn't find the back of the net. But these guys are going to stay locked in. They're going to stay hungry. We've seen that since Rick Bonus has come in, and I just don't expect that to change because they have a hunger and desire right now to get into the tournament. I think that's where they're going to end up.
Feels like it. They got a back-to-back coming this weekend. San Jose is a game. I almost look at that as it's weird. I look at that as the must-win because that's the game you should win. And the other ones that will be imperative will certainly be Detroit and Boston and certainly Carolina, any of these teams that are still kind of fighting for position or trying to better their own position. Sometimes it's even better to play a team like that because they'll feel the same amount of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only thing you worry about with a team, like when you start playing these teams like, I don't know, like San Jose, or maybe even like if you were playing Chicago, teams that are out of it are almost more dangerous in a way. Now, you can rip their heart out early, and then that's the great way to do it. But yeah, a lot of these freewheeling teams now,
sometimes you could fall into a little funky mental trap against mm-hmm. teams like that, right? And you're looking up and it's the third period and it's a 1-1 game, or you're down 2-1 or whatever it may be, and you got to scratch and claw just a little bit. But I just don't expect a lot of that the rest of the way, AR, from these guys. Like, I really don't. And so this happens, right? You go on these hot streaks, and then you're going to have some speed bumps come along the way. And right now they're facing that. You just got to hope the road ahead is going to be smoother than what we're currently dealing with over the last few contests.
I do have some breaking news.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
Do you want me to tell you now or when we come back?
You know what I want you to do. Well, let's do a nice little tease. Because you got a sly look on your face right now. I don't know what's going on. I love this. Because we just yesterday talked about the element of surprise and how that is now gone.
I'm somewhat surprised at this.
I'm turning my phone over. I don't want to know. I don't want to know anything.
Well, I don't even think it's on your phone.
Okay.
It may not be.
Oh, so
oh.
You got some
no,
fire
I'm,
the gong.
Yeah, that yeah, means...
No. Matty, yes, you can't get this information, big dog.
That means he has a source that you don't have.
Because when I was talking to you, see, there was like an arms raised to the sky going on, and now we got a nice little smirk going on over there. I'm here for it, whatever it is, because it's got you pretty excited.
It does.
Okay.
It does have me very, very excited.
Then don't even tell us what it pertains to.
Yeah, okay. I want to know nothing. I want to know
what
nothing.
What is it pertaining to? What's its meaning?
Mm-hmm.
Movie. Pertaining.
Goodfellas. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No, but it's a movie from the 80s.
Boys in the Hood.
Nope.
Oh. Back to the Future.
I've quoted it before, but not a ton.
Cool it's, Hand Luke.
It's got that a famous actor.
That doesn't help us.
Your dad.
Tombstone. Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
So we got an Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy Raw.
No, that's just a stand-up routine.
Beverly Hill Cops.
Beverly Hills Cops.
Yeah, I forgot
that's
the S
right.
on that.
That's right.
Did
Beverly
I get it right?
Hills, that's
okay.
Beverly Hills Cops.
All right, I'll take it.
All right, we're going to come back with the breaking news that will affect all of us sports fans.
Don't even tell us what it affects.
Yeah, but Fish is going to run down her. That wasn't a very good
no,
tease.
No, I think he'll like this
in
the dark
one,
tease.
Our Goat Bucks was a great tease, too. I stand by you.
All right, we'll have it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And, well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan. Corey. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are tracking drier conditions later on today, and it will be a cooler one with highs only in the 44 this afternoon. We'll see highs of around 46 degrees with winds out of the north at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Heading into the weekend, we're tracking more sunshine and some quieter conditions here around. We'll see highs in the 40s on Saturday, into the upper 50s to near 60 here by Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Hey, kids.
Anthony once did magic for birthday parties. See, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so bad. Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, in the great irony, that was a tease that could actually become a tease.
Oh,
If you guys get my drift.
I do.
All right.
I do. Can we guess what sport?
You would have no idea, right? You're just
I honestly have no clue.
So you're at the poker table just trying to read my Correct. Hand is what you guys Correct. Are trying to do, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this in the football world?
I'm going to guess we have more cornhole news this week.
Okay, you're both wrong.
Okay, so no cornhole, no football.
Yeah.
Is this sports related?
This is like that game where they play 20 questions or whatever.
Yes.
Three truths and four lies or whatever.
Is it a fruit? Okay. Go ahead.
Does this have to do with sports, or is this...
It definitely has something to do with sports.
Okay.
It wasn't a show thing. It wasn't like breaking news for our show or something like that.
Is it just for us fans, something we enjoy?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I was going to say...
Let me see here.
Tiger Woods announced that he's going to make an announcement, but I think that announcement already got leaked. So you said this is a tease for a tease.
It is Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Oh, he's coming to Columbus. Let's go.
Really?
This is a tease that's going to become a tease.
Let's go.
Potentially. So Tiger Woods has signed up, registered to play the United States Senior Open at Scioto Country Club July 4th weekend.
And he's going to be rolling
around. Let's get some applause sound effect there.
Rolling
something.
Around on that
here?
Cart. With some rims on it.
We're going to offend our guests that didn't join the show.
I love that.
Right. Here you go.
All right, there you go. It's a golf applause.
Okay.
Right? That's what we need. It's golf. Now, here's where the tease becomes potentially a tease.
Okay.
He signed up. What? What does that even mean?
He's always got the applause sound effect in the background.
He's non-committal on if he'll actually compete. So you know what he did? He RSVP'd for the party.
Mm-hmm.
But he may not show. Right?
Or is he saying, I'm going to be there regardless,
no.
I just may not play.
No, I think that's the Masters one. That he'll be at Augusta regardless.
So wait a minute.
Because of the loop and...
So run this announcement by
me. Because he'll show up for the champions dinner.
Run this announcement by me again. He's saying he's going to do what exactly?
Reserving a spot
in case
he wants
to play. To play at the U.S. Senior Open.
Okay.
At Scioto here in Columbus.
I understand that part. But he's saying what? Like I'm...
A USGA spokesperson, wait a minute, who just emailed me back.
Gong. Ireland. I mean, my God, this guy. USGA spokesperson. This guy.
I have now confirmed.
He's in.
Through my guy, the assistant director of the Championship for Communications, the assistant to the assistant manager of the movie theater, that Tiger has entered the championship at Scioto to basically ensure eligibility, but will not make a decision about playing until a later date.
Okay.
That is confirmed now.
That's fair.
Is that based on health or want to?
Probably health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That makes sense.
There's nothing insulting about that.
He turned 50 in December.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in a competitive tournament since the 2024 Open Championship, and don't say TGL. He missed the cut there at the Open Championship.
At the TGL?
Two years,
he missed the cut?
No, 2 years ago.
Yeah, you got some real beef with the TGL.
No, no, no.
Like the video game golf.
I was watching it. I don't have any beef with it.
Can't celebrate a hole in one.
That's because Rothman has a real
I'm back. That
He's
was
got a real
it.
Ace.
Maddie, if the greatest, one of the greatest dudes ever picked up a club says, I'm back. I just didn't want it to be for video game indoor golf.
He was back, wasn't he?
Indoor golf.
Got to start somewhere.
If it was outside, maybe. Now, we know since 2 years ago, he's had two more surgeries. So, the ruptured Achilles, mm-hmm. and we got to go in and replace a disc. That's all. How's the disc?
Easy,
still
know.
Spinning. Movie? How's the disc? Still spinning.
Panic at the Disco. I don't even know that's a movie.
Sports
title.
Movie.
Tin Cup.
No. Football.
Little Giants.
No.
The Longest Yard.
No.
Remember the Titans?
I'll tell you.
Friday Night Lights.
No.
Blindside.
Any Given Sunday.
Okay, that's a good one.
All right, so there's your breaking news.
Okay.
This is kind of what we all were hoping.
Mm-hmm.
With the U.S. Senior Open coming back to Columbus for the first time in 10 years. It'll be the 100-year anniversary of the U.S. Open in 1926 at Scioto,
yeah.
Bobby Jones, and the fact that you could have Tiger in his first senior event of eligibility playing. That's what I'm saying. It's a tease that could become the ultimate tease.
I think that
tease.
Was appropriate, the way that you phrased it. And you're going to get us inside the ropes, right? And all VIP access to kick it over there, right? That's what I'm expecting. That's what I learned about you. Brandon Beam and I a few years ago, speaking of Tiger, TLC, we go out to the memorial. Beamer and I, like, we're going to follow Tiger around for the whole day, which was incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get there, and, you know, right behind hole 18 is kind of like the whole clubhouse area over there, and then that little chipping area over there as well. You know, like, oh, there's AR. Got to say what's up to our guy. AR is inside the ropes with his little VIP badge.
Did he blow you off?
No, he didn't. He didn't blow us off. But what he did was he came over and talked to us like right at the rope line.
Yeah, but there was a rope between you.
Yes, there was like a message sent there like, you guys can't come inside the rope.
That's awful.
With his pinky rings and chalices that he was
holding. I say, hey, I'm not sure I can get you in, but let me go check?
Yep. At least you try.
Never came back.
It never came back.
Did he say, hey, I can go get you some caviar from this side of the rope and bring it back to you?
And get him a milkshake.
Yeah. I'm sure he
So the five-time Memorial champ.
Soon to be six.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Soon to be six.
Is registered to play.
Twice in Columbus is what I'm hearing.
No. Once, at this point, confirmed to me by the Assistant Director of Championship Communications.
You said this is when?
July 4th weekend.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of July 4th weekend.
So which one is he more likely to play?
We will take the show. I guess I'm just doing it.
You like, has that been confirmed?
No, but I want to be there on Wednesday before the tournament.
The Pro-Am?
Yeah. No, there is no Pro-Am.
Oh.
No.
No problem.
Not for the senior. No.
Oh, you're not talking about the memorial. I'm thinking of the memorial.
No, we'll be there. I'm talking about
this.
This.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood.
All right. So there you go.
Okay.
All good, man. It's a nice little Friday pick me up.
I could tell because we started the show with you being hangry, right? Because you had an appointment this year. You had to fast a little bit. And now you got a little pep in your step because you're thinking about Eldrick coming to town.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Yeah. And that's what he does. It's what he does. Like, I can't imagine there's another guy.
They're all at the same skill level now. Meaning.
Oh, so let me ask you this.
Now he'd be playing amongst his own age group.
We drop him into that senior tour. Is he not the clear-cut guy? Like, is he, like, the gap? Where he is now on tour, he's not going to be able to consistently hang with Scotty and Rory and all those guys.
No.
But we put our boy in on the senior tour.
How does he do against Patrick?
Patty Harrington?
Is he the...
Patty Harrington, I think, is the defending champ.
Oh.
Well, Tiger's
I believe so.
Tiger's coming.
Can we interview him on the show?
He's coming for
the great... I don't think there's anybody that sounds more Irish than Patty Harrington.
Okay.
He is, if they needed the stunt voice for what's the, they're always looking for me, Lucky Charms. Like, what the cereal? What was the line?
Charms.
Yeah, I know, but what was the line? They're always trying to steal them or find.
Steal me charms?
Yeah. They're always, what is the line that Leprechaun say? You guys ate the cereal? So just like
I don't know.
I don't know if Ice was eating that cereal. I think he was eating cereal.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? The kid probably was. The closest thing he ever got to eat a bad cereal was when I brought him the Cracklin' Oat Bran. Cracklin' Rosie, get on board.
Which
he kind of liked it.
Which was pretty good. Yeah. I used to go crazy on Frosted Flakes. Like, one of my favorite combinations as a kid was a bowl of Frosted Flakes and some sausage links. A little sweet and salty going on.
And a couple of slabs of bacon.
What's the line?
The line is, they're always after me Lucky Charms. And then the other line is, they're magically delicious.
Okay, that rings a bell.
But the leprechaun was saying there always have to be Lucky Charms. If you needed a stunt voice for
he's the guy.
Patty Harrington's your guy.
Okay. Tiger's going to get on this cart on this senior tour.
Guess he could.
Wreck shop. Coming for everybody's crown. Forgot who I was?
So our Friday opening of training day kind of fits. That's how he's going to be. That'll be for his cart. It'll just be bouncing down.
Hydraulics. Absolutely down the fairway. Now we're talking.
Oh yeah, where's the office, Tiger? Get in the office, baby.
That's right.
All right, so there's your breaking news. We're gonna come back and we'll dissect the Sweet 16 with our friend Dallin Cuff. He's the ESPN college basketball analyst, and we'll find out, Maddie, if this coach is the Kurt Cignetti of college hoops. Next, Rothman.com.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony once got Jack Nicklaus to quote the movie Caddyshack.
So he's got that going for him.
The last time I saw a mouth like that, I had a hook.
Which is nice. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Let's go while we're young.
All right, a couple of the early games were fantastic last night. It actually worked out pretty well that the late games were the ones that, you know, weren't as compelling in the second half. And the early ones were the ones that went down to the wire. Now, you had to kind of choose. I think the Iowa-Nebraska game ended first, then the Purdue-Texas game, and then, of course, the Illinois-Houston game was really low scoring. It was a two-point game at half, and then Houston just, they can't score. And Illinois is a very dangerous team. And now we are assured. By the way, this is the all Ohio State moral victory bracket now. This is what I'm calling it. This is the all Ohio State moral victory bracket.
What do you think Coach D would say to you?
Well, no, I think that's an actual compliment, actually. They should feel a little better about themselves today.
With the remaining squads that they went to battle with, beat whoever. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That's all. That's why I called it the all moral victory bracket. Purdue's in the Elite Eight, and Ohio State beat them. I was in the Elite Eight, and Ohio State beat them. Ohio State could have, should have, would have beat Nebraska. There, you know, that was a close game last night. Michigan, they've played tough one time. They're still around. Michigan State, they could have beaten Michigan State on the road without, was it Royal, right?
Yeah, believe so.
Without Royal, they lose by six. This is the all moral victory bracket now for Ohio State.
No, I absolutely see the vision in what you're saying there. But yeah, I mean, look, the tournament usually delivers, and to your point, a couple of those games yesterday were absolutely that. I mean, that the whole Nebraska situation, I mean, that's one of the crazier things I've seen. Between the Marchment thing last night with him swinging and missing on that goal, which was just absolutely a potential goal, and then Nebraska only having four guys on the floor? Like, how does that happen? Like, my thing, too, is Fred Hoiberg, who I think has been a solid coach, obviously. What are the assistants doing in that situation, AR? How do we not have the focus from the collective, not just the head coach? At the end of the day, it's going to fall at his feet, and it should, and he owned it, and I respected some of the things he was saying. But everybody else involved in that operation,
we got to be talking. I'm glad that you said that. And this could simply be on one of the players. I don't know. Maybe somebody thought they were getting subbed for. It didn't happen. I mean, this could be where I don't like where this is going. And I guess this is part of it, is that, and I've never thought about this, because I never thought this would be on the refs. This is your team. This is dead ball. This is you decide who's on the court. Yes, could the refs count you up a little bit? But in football, you got 12 men on. There's a flag on the field. They're not telling you, hey, by the way, you got one extra.
Correct.
Like, yeah, I thought that was very odd that there's a narrative going around today. Like, what was the ref's responsibility?
I'm not
in this?
On that side of it. Yeah. I'm on the Nebraska side, and they got to own what they didn't do in their huddle coming out of that situation.
Well, the guy that certainly can help us out with this is our friend Dallin Cuff, and it's been too long, but he is the man, and he is with ESPN. He's their college basketball analyst and a fine player in his own right. And let's welcome on the program. Dallin, good to have you back, my man.
Well, it was good to be with you, and yeah, I heard the end of your conversation there. The ref was under no obligation to do anything but to hand the ball to the team and let them inbound the ball. It is incumbent on your own team to play 5v5. If there are six out there, which is breaking the rules, the referee will let you know that. Four is not breaking the rules. That is you not doing your job.
Yeah. In your experience as a player, as a guy who's been around the game a lot, how many times, though, have you seen or heard where a ref would tell a team, hey, by the way, you need another one?
Yeah, that has happened. I feel like you guys are one short. What's going on? Like, you could I remember that those occurrences. But they're not, then there's no obligation to do it. And I don't know how, you know, how that happens, honestly. But the actual structure of it, let me just take you back. Like, we used to go to high school. My high school coach used to have us come out early out of a halftime and like set up on the wrong side, and the ref would point which direction we're actually going. I mean, he called it Arkansas for some reason. I don't remember, but we'd run Arkansas, if you will. And it worked five or six times through my high school career that the ref knew we were going the other way, pointed the other way. The team didn't do their job and understand what the situation in the game. And we either got a layup or a dunk off it. This is kind of the same thing. The ref can look around, and they are under no obligation to say anything. To your point, there are times like you want to one too many. I definitely have heard that a number of times, because that's a T. and they're doing their, they're like trying to help you out and losing before they have to make the call. One short has definitely been around. I've heard that before when I think back, but they're under no obligation to do it. You've got to know who's in. I just don't understand. Like, did somebody go to check in to go to the scorekeeper and check in or not? Like, you come into a game, you have to go to the middle there and you check in the game and one player checks out. So in a timeout situation, you still have to go report in so they know that you're coming in the game. Did nobody do that? And if somebody did do that, somebody said to somebody else on that team, "Hey man, I got you. I got you." Like, that's how that interaction goes. Like, I got you. So you know that now you've been subbed out of the game. I just don't understand how they walked out there with four and nobody noticed it. Or what the actual mechanics of it were. Did anybody check in and did a guy take himself out of the game? Like, I don't know what the hell happened there, but I know Iowa picked up on it and ended the game on it.
Yeah, no doubt. Pretty wild scenario, that's for sure. Let's look at some of the matchups that we're going to get tonight, specifically this UConn and Michigan State game. This is a game I'm pretty excited about. I saw one of the lines this morning. Looks like it's going to be a tight game, according to Vegas. But just looking at these two teams right now, UConn as a 2 seed, Sparty as a 3 seed. What are you anticipating in this matchup?
Physical game. Both teams hang their hat on the defensive end. Who wins the glass will be huge. These are one Hall of Fame coach, one that'll be there in Danny Hurley, one already there in Izzo. I think the analysis of this game is pretty simple. Jeremy Fierce has to be great for Michigan State. And it really will come down to me to who makes more shots, because I think they're going to rebound. I think they're going to play defense really well on each other, and it's going to hopefully negate. If somebody doesn't negate, if there's an advantage in one of those things, that really swings the game. But both these teams have struggled offensively at times. And I think UConn has more talented players that not hit the ceiling I thought they would hit. They've had a guy like Solo Ball that shot 44% from the three-point line last year, shooting 27% this year. He led the Big East last year. So I don't know if he's going to break out of that slump. You know he's capable of it, but is he going to? Braylon Mullen's a talented freshman. They have more guys that can make plays, but they haven't done it consistently all year. Michigan State, I think if they get really good looks. If they're making shots, I think they become a little more formidable. So it's a simple analysis to me. Who makes more shots wins the game. And ultimately, I'm going with the best player in the game, which I think is Jeremy Fierce. And I think Michigan State wins in a game that's going to be a battle. Possession, maybe.
Dallin Cuff with us, ESPN college basketball analyst, former captain of Columbia. And he's been on our program many times. We appreciate his insight and breakdown. So the one I'm really curious about is Duke St. John's. Duke's, you know, early on in the tournament, they looked gettable. I know they got a player back. That's got to help them. But St. John's was a lot of people's, I don't know, you wouldn't call him a Cinderella, not as a five, but a lot of people like them to be able to play with the big boys, and now they get their shot. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when you look back at their non-conference season, they played a lot of high major teams. Didn't play well in those games. The team has developed. The team has changed. Their guard play is better. Their roles are more defined now, and they've been on a roll. They lost one game since January 3rd, I believe. So they are more than capable of winning this game. It comes down to the how does Duke handle the pressure to me? And not a half court. The full court press they're going to put on them that wears on you physically and mentally. And Shire said that Caleb Foster might be able to go a little bit tonight. I don't think he's going to start, but that provides your what was your starting point guard potentially off the bench, gives you some depth, experience, and a bigger guard as well to handle some of that pressure, but also be there in the defensive end too, if he can go. But that's the thing is, if, you know, we do know that Caden Boozer is a freshman and he's got to deal with bringing this ball up a lot, but he's also going to have Dominique Saar and Isaiah Evans have to handle some of this pressure and help them break it. I'm not sure that those guys are great ball handlers under pressure. I wonder if they're going to bring Cam Boozer back at times to have him help break the press, because he does initiate their offense a lot as basically a point guard in the last 7 or 8 minutes of a tight game. So do you want him doing that more in the full court, and that how that affects his legs and his stamina? Because it's not just a physical toll, but also as a guard, every time that ball goes through the basket, every time the ball is out of bounds under, it's mentally, it's like, all right, here we go again. You got to get into your defender's body. You got to get open. You got to be smart with the ball. You got to be strong with it. And then you got to get your team into something. Like, that wears you down over the course of a game. So how they handle that, if they can flow into offense, is the critical piece. With St. John's, it will always be a physical battle, again, on the defensive end, on the boards, on both sides. Can Duke meet that physical challenge? They can. I think they're going to have to win this game. The last part I'll mention is how this game is officiated will be huge. If it's tight and St. John's can't scratch and claw and hold and chuck, then that really helps Duke. If they can and it's called very loose, this is going to be a bit of a war of attrition, similar to that Kansas game. And I think St. John's can stay in it. I liked them with the number when it opened at 7.5. Most places are down to 6.5 now. I think Duke wins because I think offensively they have more talent, have more skill, But will that skill be able to prevail? I think it will, just in like a possession or two game. It's going to be a really tight game and a very physical game.
Dallin, real quick in our last minute, I want to ask you about this freshman class moving forward as they go on to the NBA, because there's a lot of excitement about those guys. But of the guys, DeBanta, Boozer, Acuff, whoever you may like in this freshman class, which one of those guys do you think is going to have the highest ceiling when it comes to their NBA career?
Oh, man, this is the most talented freshman class we've ever seen, and I know there's going to be guys like Caleb Wilson. I think Caleb Wilson is going to be a surefire all-star. Like, his skill set, his motor, his compete level, the guy just wants to win, and it sucks if he got hurt in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season and wasn't able to make it into the tournament here for Carolina. But I think that guy has a huge ceiling. DeBanta has a huge ceiling as a two-way player. If Acuff ever wants and learns to guard, or has any desire to guard, he's the most offensively gifted player in the country right now. But dude does not care about defense, case in point last night and most of the season. But he's an electric scorer and facilitator of the ball. There's a lot of guys I don't think you can go wrong with this. And to say that biggest upside is hard, because I think there are so many. But I think Wilson may be one of the safest bets that's not discussed at the same level.
All right, I got one for you for 30 seconds. Is Ben McCollum the Kurt Cignetti of college basketball right now? He'd probably have to get to the Final Four and beyond, but he feels like that to me. Like, if you're trying to find a guy that kind of came out of nowhere in a way, and now he's got Iowa doing what they're doing. Feels like it.
I like your comp, because Cignetti won everywhere he's been. McCollum's won everywhere he's been. D2, Drake, now here. The difference with Cignetti is in year two, he won a national championship. In year one, he got to the CFP. So we'll wait that comp. We'll see what happens to Ben the rest of this run. And then if he can do this thing again next year and get even better players and put it together, now that comp really makes sense. But Cignetti climbed the entire mountain, which nobody thought was ever possible in the second year there. That's crazy.
Yeah, especially there. All right, my man. Great stuff. Enjoy the games, Dallin. Thanks for your time and insight.
All right, be well.
Dallin Cough, ESPN college basketball analyst on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We come back with overs and unders into the weekend. Rothman and Ice in the Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
The Jackets are making a push to the playoffs.
Islanders and Adam Fantilli, one more time, puts it in the net.
Listen to every exciting moment, including an extended pregame show for weekend games. Proud to be your home of the Jackets. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, TLC, overs and unders. What do you got, my man?
All right, so yesterday in 11 games, the Nerfy went 6-5.
Thank you for tracking that. Okay. I was curious about that because the Tigers Pods also was a Yerfy, not a Nerfy. And day one is supposed to be the day in Major League Baseball where you can bet that no runs first inning and do pretty well. Now you're saying at least you wouldn't have lost if you bet everyone.
Well, I mean, the odds aren't perfectly even.
I understand. That's
so
true.
With the pitchers, you're right. I think that would be over the...
You didn't get
crushed.
If we
were just assuming that they were even, I think 6 out of 11 would be over that 52.39% you're looking for. But we have 8 games today, 3 of which are involve teams that have not played yet. So you still get 6 aces still taking the mound today. So out of the 8 games... How many is the Nerfy going to hit? Over, under 4.5?
And real quick,
yeah,
for the folks that don't know what the Nerfy is.
So the Nerfy stands for no runs first inning.
There we go.
So as long as there are no runs by either team in the first inning, you win the bet. And me and my friends have done this. We usually parlay them. You don't want to do just one. You want to do like 6 or 7 and hope they all hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a big pot of gold. They're always after me, Lucky Charms. So you said we got 8 games? Oh, you can bet the Yerfy also.
Which is?
Yes, runs first inning.
Okay.
All right.
Under 4.5, and there are 8 games today.
I'm going over.
And we don't have the aces.
I'm going over.
Over as in
we get
more Nerfies today.
Yes. Some good number 2s throwing. We get some aces baked into this, as TLC mentioned. So, yeah, I'm going over, man.
I think this might be the good day to do it.
Yeah, we're going
to
course correct a little bit here.
Maybe find some locations that it's a little colder. You know, check the weather report, which I'm looking at right now.
The only place is maybe Seattle.
Yeah.
And maybe San Francisco.
San Fran looks like the high, 57 degrees. Fine day for baseball.
What's happening in Atlanta?
80.
Atlanta?
80 at Truist Park.
Yeah, but a lot of dome teams playing.
You mentioned Seattle. I don't have a weather report yet for Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going over. I'm going over.
All right, I'm going to ride the over with him.
Let's go.
They got to bounce back today.
Where will Ty Simpson get drafted? Over under 16.5 overall. This is of note because the Jets select 16th, and Aaron Glenn decided to attend Ohio State's pro day instead of Alabama's. And as we heard, the Bears were the only team to send their GM to Alabama's pro day. So I can also tell you, that implies that the Jets sent neither their head coach nor their GM to check out Ty Simpson.
All right, so I have a conspiracy. I just have a theory that if I'm Aaron Glenn, or I'm the Jets in general, their front office, and I really like Ty Simpson, I'm not sending my head coach there. It's too much of a blinking light.
Okay.
I would
play a little hard to get?
No. Play a little deception. I don't want the other teams around me at 16. If I have my head coach there,
I think they're going to bring him in for a private workout in a top 30 visit. So I think once they do that, that's going to kind of let everyone know that they're in. I like your theory, though, because I'm in on conspiracy theories, but I'll be surprised if we hear that they don't bring him in for a private workout in a top 30 visit. So I think they're going to show some interest, but it is odd. I'm going to take the under, though.
You think Simpson goes 16 or higher?
Yeah. I think that's where this is going to be. I think this is where we're headed with this.
Right, it'd be 16 or lower or above 16.
Yeah. 1 through 16 is what Maddie's saying. All right, so they're not taking him at 2.
No,
they're not.
I agree.
I worry a little bit. This would be crazy high. This would be like if Dan Orlovsky was running the card up to the podium. He could go to Arizona at 3. Like, that would be the
highest. Charles Davis just predicted that.
He did?
Charles Davis, yeah.
To 3, to Arizona.
Yep, in his latest mock.
Wow. And look, Orlovsky went on McAfee's show. I guess he and McAfee went back and forth a little bit about the whole Mendoza.
He's not going that high.
And Simpson thing. But Orlovsky said that a lot of the GMs slash decision makers that he talked to, and I think he threw out the number between 12 to 15, only two of those parties disagreed.
Well, 12 to 15 would have to be a team trading into that spot, because I don't think any of the teams 12 to 15 need him.
Right.
Cowboys. Well, I guess the Rams could maybe think if he's their future.
I think the Rams have let us know where they're going. They're just going to ride the Matt Stafford car wheels fall off.
Let's get a Lombardi.
With the investment that they made in Trent McDuffie, giving up a first-round pick, I think they're all in on this roster, which makes sense because they're really close. They're really close.
All right, just to be, not to be completely different, but as long as I'm kind of down the middle, I'll err on the over that he's a semi-slider, but does make the first round.
Let's do one more. How many games will the Reds win against Boston this weekend? Over, under 1.5?
Well, we got crocheted yesterday. No surprise. He's going to do that to a lot of people. I'm going to go under. I think Boston's more complete than us right now. Not healthy in our rotation, but yeah, I'll go under.
The better question, that's a good question.
Gee, thanks.
But the
better question.
You know what I mean. Boy, you guys, man, come on. This goes to the show. It's not an individual thing. What I thought we could come up with was the over-under on when Maddie prints the shirts for the Reds.
Hey, man.
This year. No. And it might be if he can take down your boys next. Mm-hmm. The Pirates.
You know, I get a little carried away.
I know.
I get a little carried
looking
away.
Looking at their schedule, decide when you're going to put all the pressure on them. You said the Reds are going to win two of the three now, bounce back and win two of the three?
No, I took the under.
Okay, yeah, I'm taking the under as well.
I took the under. Folks, March means tax season, which also means great deals from the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion. They're going to treat you like family up there. I can promise you that because I am speaking from experience. I got my car from the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion, and I want you to do the same thing because they're going to hit you with a great deal. You're going to get in there. You're going to look at over 200 new vehicles on their website as well, and you're going to like what you see because that's exactly what I did. They have a 2026 Chevy Trax, and you can lease it for $265 a month for 24 months with $3,139 due at signing, or finance for only $295 a month with $1,000 down. Terms and restrictions apply. The McDaniel GM Superstore has been cooking at a high level for years and years and years. So let them take care of you and your family with a great new car. Again, from the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion, Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
All right, we come back after a sports update here, top of the hour, and Mel Kiper putting a certain quarterback to rest. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
I need a small order. Tom.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The East and Midwest Regional Finals will be set after tonight with the final four games of the Sweet 16. St. John's and Duke start the slate at 7:10, followed by Alabama and Michigan at 7:35, Michigan State and UConn at 9:45, then Tennessee and Iowa State in the nightcap at 10:10. In the association, Cavs host the Heat tonight at 7:30. Miami bested Cleveland earlier this week, 120-103 Wednesday. Baseball, Reds are off after being blanked by the Red Sox 3-0 Thursday. Cincinnati and Boston meet again Saturday at 4:10. Tonight, Guardians visit the Mariners at 9:45. Cleveland tops Seattle 6-4 Thursday after Chase DeLutter's two-homer game. Tonight, the Clippers start their season at the Iowa Cubs at 8:08. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious? No, he's not from New Jersey. Back to Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program. Joe De Leon, Ponce De Leon, will discover for us the NFL draft at 1:30.
And
what did he discover? Florida or something like that?
Is that what it was?
Am I wrong?
I wrote a report on him in elementary school, so I should know.
Yeah, I think I glanced at the movie. All right, Maddie, what did you have to say, this big giveaway?
We got a goodie, couple goodies to give away today because winner is going to receive a Hothead Burritos catering package that's going to feed 20 people. So TLC's letting me know we're giving away two of these things before we get out of here today at 3 o'clock. So you never know. You never know. We're going to give this thing away. So you got to stay locked in. Two of them today? That's what it sounded like. That's what the streets are telling me. Yep.
Yep. A party for 20.
Party for 20. A catering package that's going to feed up to 20 individuals is what you're going
to
get.
Do you have to eat these burritos on the cruise or no?
Is that a movie reference? Oh, okay.
No, it was our theme of the week. How many cruises we were going to give away.
Did you look into that Ritz-Carlton experience a little bit more?
I haven't really looked into it more than I did on the air the other day. You know, I like to do my extracurricular work while I'm getting paid to do something else.
Oh,
it's called efficiency, Maddie.
But yeah, I want you to do that. But yeah, sticks with us, folks. If you're looking to have a little party, maybe for, I don't know, Elite Eight, Final Four, having some people over.
Honestly, it's amazing.
This is what you need. We got you.
Juan Ponce de Leon was a Spanish explorer and conquistador known for leading the first official European expedition to Puerto Rico in 1508 and Florida in 1513.
So Florida. Mm. Wonder what happened after he discovered. Was he welcomed? Or did the people in Florida just to say, hey, or what happened there, I wonder? Was he celebrated or was it like...
There's a lot in this Wikipedia page.
All right, yeah, you don't have to read it. All right, well...
I'll
go back and watch the movie. Ponce de Leon.
All right.
Apparently not, because I see a sentence that says several skirmishes followed with casualties on both sides.
All right. Can't win for losing. All right. Let's talk about our boy Mel Kiper. I really like this clip, and I'll set it up for you. Let's set up the clip. The Field Yates is talking to Mel Kiper, and they were talking about the draft. And sometimes, and this happens to us too, when we're wrapping up a segment or we finished up with a guest and then we throw in kind of a indiscriminate comment just to get us to something else. I kind of felt like that's where this was going with Field Yates, that he just kind of wanted to throw it in there. And I really like Mel Kiper, and I applaud that he was still laser focused at the end, that even after he was done talking and Field was wrapping it up, that he was still locked in on every word that was coming out of his mouth.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Field. And he did not let him just kind of willy-nilly throw a little comment out there, and he caught him and he called him on it.
The Jets have to be figuring out Ty Simpson. The Steelers have to figure out Ty Simpson. And now certainly Arizona does. They want to try to trade back in and get him.
Yeah, the Browns, by the way, need to figure out Ty Simpson as well. They have
the Browns don't have to worry about Ty Simpson. They got a better quarterback than Ty Simpson than Shedeur Sanders.
I believe
don't go there.
I believe the Browns need to figure out Ty Simpson.
Don't go there.
So this is interesting to me because I don't think anybody can definitively say right now that Shedeur is going to be a better quarterback than Ty Simpson after what we saw last year. I think what's happening here is Uncle Mel still is, I think, a little salty at the whole draft process last year when it came to Shedeur, because that was his guy. Right? Like, that was his guy. So I don't know if Mel wants to admit publicly right now that, yeah, I got to take an L on that. So I don't think you want to come out and say, if you're Mel, yeah, if you're the Browns, like, they got to go in and do some real research on Ty Simpson the way they feel.
You may be on it.
I think that's what this is.
He plays with confidence, composure in the pocket, Shedeur. Like, I feel like he is kind of going back to that well.
He's not over it. Because that was a tough look for
him. It's not like Shedeur fell on his face either, so he doesn't have to, like, avoid it.
No, but I think last year, AR, at the draft for Mel, when he's sitting there round after round, day after day, and now we're at day three or whatever that was when the fifth round comes around, and Mel's got a little egg on his face, right? Like, you're going to swing and miss when you're in that position. He swung and missed last year. I'm not going to crush his entire career now because of that.
He doesn't think he missed. He thinks everybody else did.
Okay. Like, that's, yeah, I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, I don't think he, I could be wrong, but I don't think
he thinks everybody else is wrong.
I don't believe that he said, he's not in the business of telling you where a guy should go technically or who's going to pick that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's Shefty. That's the other guys that talk to people. I think this team likes this guy. They may take him here.
He's ranking the prospects based off of his film evaluation.
Mel is basically doing the reverse peephole. He is saying, so I love that look on your face. Trying to prevent an ambush.
I'm trying to,
you know, reverse the peephole in your door. That way, you know.
Okay.
That way, when you come home, you can look in and see if anybody's in your in your house ready to jack you with a sack of pennies or something. All right.
Jay's jacked off his feet last night.
I just want to have jerk on my face.
Oh, man.
All right, Bo.
We love you, Uncle Bo.
All right. So I think that Mel does the reverse peephole here where he's saying, I didn't tell you that Shedeur was going to be taken second. I told you that somebody should have taken him. They didn't. That's their problem. Uh-huh. He's not looking at that as a miss, that since he rated Shedeur so high and he didn't get drafted till late, that he's saying, well, I guess I was wrong.
He's
basically saying that everybody else was wrong.
I think you're on it. Remind me, did he have Shedeur as his number one quarterback last year?
I'll have to look up his big board.
Can't remember.
You're saying his big
board. Number one.
He had him number one.
I thought it was his guy.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I don't think he's ready, as you say, to admit he was wrong. In fact, he's probably seen a little bit to make him think like that he's going to be right.
And he may be.
He's still in on it. And that's why he's saying, by the way, here's the other thing, and I do like him. I wonder if he's like, in a way, saying this, I don't need any more competition for him. They don't need him. I don't need anybody trying to steal his job. This is my guy.
You know,
something there too.
Yeah,
there's something there too, because Fields giving a measured take, and I think if you are the Browns, I think it is a smart thing to do to, you know, circle around, double down again, go back, do whatever you have to do to really vet the situation when it comes to who Ty Simpson was at Alabama and who he could be in the NFL. They're not in a position, obviously, to scoff at any quarterback prospects at this point, and especially when they have two first-round draft picks. And so they've done their homework already, but I think right now with where they are with this current roster, I don't know if it's necessary. I would continue to build it out the way that they're building it out. I like some of the moves they've made with the offensive line, bringing in some vets, dropping a wide receiver into this thing, and then I may be looking at a situation where I'd probably take another swing at offensive line too.
I'm with you on this. I'm with Mel on this. I feel it would be overkill. I'm going to take Mel at his word. I was being a little funny when I said, oh, he doesn't want competition for his guy. I do believe that there's no reason that they already swung and missed probably on Dylan Gabriel, mm-hmm. who they drafted before Shudor, but they saved it. They were volume shooting. Now they actually look good. Before, the Browns looked horrendous. You drafted Shudor when you told us that you felt Dylan was better than him. But they covered themselves because now they had an option to go to if they didn't feel Dylan had a big future. Last year's quarterback class was an absolute mystery to me. There was nothing that told me that you knew that Shudor or Cam Ward or Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck or Jalen Milroe or Will Howard or Dylan or Riley Leonard. Mm-hmm. There was no way we could know. Here are his rankings. I pulled them up from last year. And obviously, we always talk about quarterback because it's the most important position. This is Kuiper, who had 150 total prospects on his final big board, and he ranked his top 10 quarterbacks. This is last year going in.
Okay.
Let's see if he had them in the right order. He had Shudor number one. That's correct. That is a boing right now. Number two, Cam Ward.
That's a win for him, I think. I think it's a win for
him. I think so far, so good, but it almost gets a boing, I think, because...
What's our opposite of a boing? Oh, it gets a boing.
I think it gets a boing, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a guy below him that's actually looking like... He had Jackson Dart third.
Oh, God.
He had Jackson Dart third. Yeah, I like that.
Well, Ice did not.
Oh, party pooper.
Yeah, that's
so
tough.
If we redid this order, I think you'd put Jackson Dart number one. Right now, knowing what we know now,
I just don't think I don't think he's missed on Cam Ward.
Okay,
I don't think that's a miss yet.
At four, pretty damn good call. He had Tyler Shuck, right? He did.
Viking horn for his Saint.
Yeah, kind of wish.
Well, you shot down the party horn.
I like the party horn.
No, that was
so. I'm just gonna start smashing random sound effects.
And then the rest: Jalen Milroe, Kyle McCord. Will Howard, Dylan Gabriel, Riley Leonard, Shefty's hold music. That's right. You know what that is? That's Riley Leonard, like, calling up some GMs and coaches, like, you gonna take me? And that's, give us a second.
That's what it really is.
And then number 10 was Quinn Ewers. That's awesome. Honestly, Mel's board last year, if I was redoing this from a results, I'd probably go Jackson Dart 1, Cam Ward 2,
Shuck
maybe
3.
Shuck 3, then Shudor.
And then everybody.
And
else. Then everybody.
Everybody.
So you
got to
rank out.
Yeah, Shuck was highly thought of, but do you think he had a benefit by only playing half the season? That, like, he didn't have enough time to kind of fail.
I think
in
he
a
had
way.
A benefit that he's like 28 years old or whatever he is. I think he was a man's man coming out. Anyway, those are his rankings. So I think he actually...
He doesn't want to lay down the shield yet on the Shudor thing.
He probably doesn't feel he has to. And if I'm going to lay down the shield, it ain't going to be for Ty Simpson. That's probably what he really wanted to say. Pressure cooker next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
It's never a bad...
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see drier conditions and more sunshine later on this afternoon, but it will be a cooler day with highs only in the 40s here for your Friday, calling for a high near 46 with winds out of the north at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And as we head into the weekend, we're tracking more sunshine and some quieter conditions with highs in the 40s on Saturday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on the Fan app.
Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by 3D Cabinetry. 3DCabinetry.net, where quality meets affordability.
All right, Ice, a little pressure cooker time. So, I feel like we're both going to probably do a little NCAA tournament, but I'll start with this one. And I know they shouldn't feel a lot of pressure. Do you know what the spread is on the Michigan-Bama game?
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
I mean, Michigan's got to be a pretty decent favorite.
Let me cook this up for you,
like
big
seven,
dog.
Eight and a half.
I've got Michigan at nine and a half, laying 9.5 in Chi-Town at the United Center.
Yeah, they shouldn't feel that much pressure, but I'm going to put some pressure on them in a certain area. I think they got to guard the three ball. I think this is, and I'll back this up with some stats.
Really?
So Alabama has buried 19 threes. They scored 90 for the second straight game. They got a couple guys making at least five triples against Texas Tech. Bama is second nationally in three-point makes. They make about 13 a game.
Yeah, they get them up.
And they're the number one scoring offense. Now, should that concern Michigan fan? Maybe a little. If they find a way to make a ton of threes tonight in Chicago, that's trouble. That's a tournament killer. That's why we love it, because if you're hot one night, you can take out a big boy. Here's the reason why I'll put the pressure on Michigan. Because despite winning, they've allowed 24 three-pointers in two games last week. So where I'm going with this is that the one area, the one area that I think Bama really could hang with them is Michigan's weakness right now. So I think those worlds could collide. Michigan plays about an eight-man rotation. They wear defenses out. We know that. But Alabama has, in my mind, the definition, the true definition of a puncher's chance. They have that punch to throw at Michigan tonight, and they'll have to do it to win. They'll have to.
No, I like that a lot. Excuse me. I want to ask you this, because I was thinking about, you know, and I mentioned the United Center up there in Chicago. I know your GOAT has a statue outside of that thing, correct?
They moved one in. They had to move it inside for some sort of renovation.
Where are you at on a Phil Jackson statue? Does that need to happen?
Unnecessary, I think.
Really?
That's the house that Mike built.
Okay.
Phil's great and everything, but I don't.
I think we need to get Phil out there.
Really?
I think we need to get Uncle Phil out there.
The human coat hanger?
I just thought about that. Let's get Uncle Phil a little statue up there in Chicago. You know? Jordan, you know, it's always a glazapalooza with him. But I think Uncle Phil deserves a little bit more
respect.
How many
does he have with the Lakers?
I think it's 11 total. So it was four, five?
I mean, so what, are you going to give him two? He gets one out there as well?
Sure. Why not?
Statues and all in every port.
I need you to start that movement up there in Chicago. Right. Get Uncle Phil
a
statue.
It's funny, it hasn't really moved me, and the problem with it is it's the greatest ever in my mind has his. And I don't think anything is necessary after that. It's Michael and the Jordan Airs.
Exactly. Michael just had his own office, you know. Hey, everybody else, you're in the locker room. I got my own wing over here.
Yeah, I don't know. You may be on to something.
I'm just thinking about Phil Jackson.
All right, here's
getting him something up there.
Let me ask you this, because that's why I asked you about the Lakers.
Okay.
And so the LA Lakers I see here have had some of the best players and coaches, obviously, in their history. I mean, 17 titles or whatever they have.
Yeah.
And no one honors their past better than them. Like, I don't think anybody does in sports.
I think Shaq's got one. Kobe's got
one. Yeah, it's crazy. Michael Cooper's jersey got retired.
Okay.
He finally made the Basketball Hall of Fame. And so I guess Does Pat Riley have a statue?
I think they just cooked that up for him.
All right. So he architect of Showtime. He deserves one. That's great. Four championships and all
so
that.
So Phil deserves one then.
That's so here's hearing. Another rumble. We may be on to something.
Okay.
I don't know when this is, but I'm reading the Lakers' recent announcement that they have begun work on a statue for Pat Riley. You say that is already there, Crypto?
I'm pretty sure that just happened.
They believe it's going to be a prelude to an eventual announcement about a statue for
Phil Jackson.
Philip Jackson.
And you know what's going to happen is when the Lakers do that, if that happens first, that's going to put the pressure on the Chicago Bulls franchise to do it as well.
Got to. His former girlfriend is the owner, right?
Jeannie?
I mean, that's got to help this. Unless she...
I don't know if that's... You think that's pushing it over the edge? That's the...
Whenever this happened, I'm wondering if the talks were like... I wonder if they were out to dinner one night or somewhere else.
It's all right. Your boy can share some of the spotlight.
What are your thoughts on that? You think Phil kind of planted that thought a little bit when he was dating Jeannie Buss? Hmm. Like... it'd be nice to have a statue out here.
You know, campaigning for himself a little bit.
Somebody's got to do it.
Would it make you happy, honey? Okay, we'll do it.
I don't think that would be the only reason for dating.
Of course. I mean, he's got, what, five titles, like Maddie said?
First of all, happy International Women's Day. Second of all, perhaps.
Just the international women?
Just the international
women. Not the American women?
Not the domestic. Okay, only the international. Yeah, when you said that.
Because I think he's referencing the video of like when LeBron sat down between Jeannie Buss and I think Kurt Rambis's wife. There's like this viral video that goes around every year when International Women's Day rolls around. And you can clearly read his lips and he's saying, hey, before anything, happy International Women's Day. This is this stupid video that goes around
and they're like
every
falling
year.
Over him.
What a guy.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's all time. Right. I think I just started something. Your boy can share a little bit of the spotlight out front of United Center. Get Phil out there. Get Phil out there.
I don't think the Bulls are in any race to beat the Lakers in the Phil Jackson statue sweepstakes.
But I think the pressure will start.
Might be.
It'll mount a little bit, you know, boil up a little bit when they do that. Hey, one of my candidates this week, it's in game number one tonight. It is Kaden Boozer. Because Kaden Boozer, he's going to have to deal with this St. John's defense that is ferocious. I mean, Patino for years has always had a good defense. But they're going to try to turn you over because they've been doing that all season long. This St. John's defense, they're eighth best in the country on that end of the floor, according to KenPom.com. And they force turnovers at a high rate. So I think that just has to be his focus tonight. As a young guy, big-time environment, his dad has been a dude. His brother has been a dude all year long. And so he knows what to do in these situations. But there's one thing to think you can do and actually do it against an imposing defense like St. John. So I'm going Kaden Boozer. In him having three or less turnovers, I think, is what's going to be needed in this game tonight out there in Washington. So I'm putting him on the pressure list.
Love that game. Massive. Final one for me. The golf world kind of turns to Texas. The PGA Tour is going to be there the next couple of weeks leading up to the Masters. So top 50 in the official world golf ranking after the Houston Open will get the early exemption of the Masters. So there are only a few names kind of teetering on the edge, and I kind of look through the draw here. So if they miss out here, their only path to the Masters is to win next week at the Texas Open. So I'm going to put it on Ricky Fowler.
Okay.
Ricky was a Masters guy for a long time, nearly a decade. You'd always see him there. His attendance at Augusta has been kind of spotty. He's played the first major of the year just twice since 2020. He's only played the Masters twice since then. He's in risk of missing it again this year. He's currently 61 in the world. So I think missing the Masters would be a pretty big deal for him. And he's played, I think he's playing his best golf in the last few years. He contended the U.S. Open years ago in L.A., and he needs a win or something pretty close to it if he wants to get into the top 50. He shot 67 yesterday. He's off to a good start, and he goes at 142 today.
Okay, last one for me. I'm going to the NBA for this one. Because we do a little vibe check right now in Houston. Vibe check is not good at all with the Houston Rockets and Kevin Durant. The Rockets have lost two games in a row. They're 4-6 over their last 10 games. And AR, there's videos going around of the huddle being dead, nobody supporting each other. And what this brings into focus is that old burner account for KD. And going back to that story that happened about a month ago, remember where he's calling out all these guys and all that stuff, and then he didn't really deny it when he was asked about it the next day. And so it just seems like they're a fractured team right now, because there is no good juju around the Houston Rockets right now, and it's affecting their play at the worst time of the year. There's less than 10 games left in the regular season, and they're slipping and sliding the wrong way. So they really got to tighten up, because when you bring in KD, you know what the expectation is. Hey, we should be able to make a deep postseason run, and right now it just does not feel like that's where they're headed. So I'm going KD and the Rockets. They got to get themselves together. 4-6 over their last 10. They are on the pressure list.
All righty, that's the cooker for the weekend. We come back in 2 minutes with our friend Joe DeLeon, A to Z Sports, covering the NFL draft. Several teams still searching for their franchise quarterback. Will one pull the trigger on the new It guy? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony finally hit a hole in one. So now what? Just bask in the glory?
And that's how she wrote.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Efforting our man Joe DeLeon. Discover him in moments. The Arizona Cardinals decided on their own to leave themselves with a pretty big void under center, right? Let Kyler Murray go. My Vikes picked him up. Now, they have Jacoby Brissett. It's a nice little...
Pretty productive for him last year.
Yeah, it's a... That's a comforting position to be in, that they don't have to feel probably crazy pressure to reach, but you have to believe they're searching.
You should always, when you don't have one AR, you should always be searching, right?
Because you wouldn't call him a franchise quarterback, per se.
Jacoby, no. The runway obviously isn't as long as it would be if you bring in a guy like Ty Simpson, for sure.
Here's our guy, Joe DeLeon, A to Z Sports, covering the NFL draft on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Joe, welcome back.
I appreciate you guys having me. Excited to dig into the draft.
Arizona, I guess, could be fairly tempted to grab the new It guy, Ty Simpson, if things fall where we think they will, with Mendoza going to the Raiders. So first, tell me what you think of that. Is Simpson worthy of being a high pick, or where would you have his floor and his ceiling right now in this draft?
Yeah, for me, it feels a little too high for him to get selected in that top five range. I'm a big fan of Ty Simpson, and that's why, like, this whole past week has been a little frustrating and also perplexing, where we've got this, like, really broad range of projections on where he fits in this class, especially with the whole Dan Orlovsky circumstance that happened at the beginning of the week. He's been a first-round prospect for me this whole time. And the reason why he's been a first-round prospect is because his ceiling projects to be that of a solid starter in the NFL. Reminds me a lot of Brock Purdy and some of the things that he does in terms of being mobile and being able to escape pressure, being really decisive and quick trigger with his with the way that he's able to read the field in front of him and to show aggressiveness and willingness to attack. And his accuracy is great. He's just a natural thrower. But because of the fact that he's got such a small sample size of playing and the history of quarterbacks who have played the same amount of starts as he has, the 13 starts that he had this year, I look at Mitch Trubisky and Anthony Richardson as two examples, it should limit where he gets picked. I think that a team like the Cardinals or the Browns are not a good situation for him. And I think that they need to have enough self-reflection, and the Jets had thrown there as well, enough self-reflection to see, you know what, we're not fully baked. We can't really risk sitting him to start, which he needs. He needs that opportunity to grow and to develop. It'd be better if they continue to build their foundation and to look ahead. I feel like the best landing spots for him, there's two that are perfect, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Los Angeles Rams. And the funniest thing, I feel like that Rams fans and Steelers fans hate the idea of picking him. But the Steelers have not had or found a young solution at quarterback since Kenny Pickett. That failed. And the Rams have thankfully had so much success with Matthew Stafford and previously Jared Goff for a short stint before that, that they have a need to find their young solution. I think that this presents them with a really easy opportunity. And also them picking this high, we don't know when the next time that the Rams are going to be picking this early to grab someone like that. So I think that the top five buzz a little too high, but I'm willing to take him somewhere in the teens.
Let's lock in on the Cleveland Browns and specifically wide receiver fits, because they've been mocked a lot throughout this offseason. As you know, offensive lineman somewhere in the first round, and a receiver somewhere as well with that second first round pick that they have. But the wide receiver pool that they have to pick from, is there a guy or maybe two that jumps out to you as a good fit for what Todd Monken's going to want to do on offense?
Yeah, my biggest, most important thing here is that I don't believe this wide receiver class has the type of guy that is worth going at that sixth overall pick. I think that there are a lot of really good receivers in this class, and there's a lot of depth, especially impactful players that can get picked on day two that could go on to become solid starters for teams, like really high quality wide receiver twos and wide receiver threes on teams. But I just don't see a Malik Nabers. I don't see a Jamar Chase type of a prospect that is worthy of going with that sixth overall pick. Carnell Tate's a really good player, but I don't think he's got that type of an impact in him where he completely elevates an offense regardless of circumstance and situation, like Jamar Chase and the way that Malik Nabers have done really early on in their career with inconsistency at quarterback and who's been throwing them the ball. To me, though, when you come back around at the back end of the first round, I'm knowing the value that Monken has had for speedy receivers, which, you know, part of the building philosophy when he was with the Ravens, that might be more on Harbaugh and DaCosta, but knowing what they got out of the Zay Flowers of the world, I think that Omar Cooper Jr. from Indiana is intriguing. I like the idea of Casey Concepcion from Texas A&M. I wonder maybe if coming back around in the second round, if a Zachariah Branch from Georgia would be worth their consideration, maybe Skylar Bell from UConn. And then another last guy that I really like, I'm a big fan of Deion Burks from Oklahoma. I feel even though he's been banged up and has not had true availability to the degree that you'd want for somebody going on day two, he's a tremendous athlete. He's explosive. He's physical. He's great with the ball in his hands after the catch. I think all those guys kind of fit what the Browns could be looking for, especially considering that they've already got an established bigger body guy in Jerry Jeudy.
Joe DeLeon, A to Z Sports, talking NFL draft with us here on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Good stuff there. I want to take you down to Cincinnati. Listen, before they did all their free agent pickups here defensively, I thought, okay, this is a lock of what they're going to do. But my mind said, like, if they stay at 10, I would love to see one of the Buckeyes drop to them. I would love to see Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs be available at 10. The more I read, the more I watch, I don't feel like they're going to. So you can answer that part first if you think that Caleb or Sonny Styles would be there at 10. And if they're not, have they done enough in their free agency so far defensively to either maybe say, okay, now we need a corner, or we have a little more luxury?
Yeah, I think that the Bengals situation is really funny, because if there is like either a doomsday situation where all the premier defensive players are off the board, or there is a perfect situation where Jeremiah Love and Carnell Tate, maybe even Ty Simpson, multiple offensive linemen are picked in the top 10 because there's a limited number of quality players at those positions, that they get to pick whoever they want. They get to pick if they wanted to go David Bailey, if they wanted to go with Caleb Downs or Sonny Styles, or even maybe there's a world that Arvell Reese ends up sliding there. I feel like there's not really much clarity and guarantees on who ends up still being there at pick number 10. But I do imagine that if it is Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs, that the right player for them would be Sonny Styles. It was really frustrating seeing the poor linebacker play for this team. And I feel like you plug in a premier athlete like that that's also got incredible instincts, would elevate the unit and would elevate the entire defense. Now, the one thing I will say, I did a mock draft on my show, Best Pod Available for A to Z Sports, and John Sheeran, who's the Bengals reporter for A to Z Sports, did it with us. And he picked Jeremiah Love because all those defensive players were off the board. And I think that it's worth considering that if all those defensive guys are off the board and they can't trade back, it might be worth considering taking the best offensive player in this class if he's there. I know that Bengals fans maybe don't love the thought of that, but if you're in this position where all those top-tier defensive guys are all gone, instead of forcing and reaching on somebody else, maybe it's worth taking that swing on the best player available.
If you were in charge of running a team right now, putting you in the GM seat, and you had a guy under center right now that you're comfortable with, but maybe he doesn't have a whole bunch of runway left, looking at this quarterback draft class, if you had to bet on a guy that maybe in a couple years could turn into a starter that isn't obviously Ty Simpson or Fernando Mendoza, which guy would you be comfortable picking?
Yeah, the with this question, I got to be honest with you. If I had to give a real answer, I'm saying nobody. I really don't think this quarterback. I respect all the guys in this class. I see a lot of guys, they're going to stick as backups. Like, I think Nussmeier is going to be a great player, can stick as a backup. I think Cole Payton can be a Taysom Hill type of a backup for a team. I think that Taylen Green presents some upside as an athletic player that can carve out a role as a backup for a team that maybe that has a more mobile starting quarterback. You know, there's also the Luke Altmaiers and the Sawyer Robertsons of the world that are quality players, have the tools, didn't really have the growth that you're hoping for in their final years, that would really work and stick with a franchise because they've got so much experience and they'd be able to be a solid number two QB. But if I was to pinpoint somebody, I do think Cole Payton does present that. The thing with Cole Payton that people discuss a lot about him is that he's got all these tools. He's a really good athlete. He's got a big arm, super physical, hard-nosed kid. And a lot of people talk about how he's got this upside to maybe even be QB2 in his class. A lot of people forego the fact that he's barely played. He's got one full season as a starter. He was mostly contributing in like a gadget type role at North Dakota State when Cam Miller was there. I think that Cole Payton, the reason why there can be some buy-in is that you almost don't know what he can become yet because he's not fully baked as a player. He has some development to undergo. So if there was one guy compared to all these other players that have large sample sizes of playing time, I feel like Payton's that one dude that I'd at least take the swing on to see what he could eventually turn into.
Great stuff with our friend Joe DeLeon, college football, NFL draft for A to Z Sports NFL. Check them out. And we appreciate, you know, we'll be ringing you back before the draft, Joe. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Good insight there on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. All right. We'll stay with draft in the bulletin. And TLC and his group like to try to predict, like, which Buckeye will be the one. Remember I threw out the other day.
Who's his group?
I don't know. You and I aren't invited to it. But
my crew.
Yeah, his crew.
Okay.
TLC crew rolled deep. So I threw out yesterday, has there ever been a school that had four guys go in the top 10? And he did some deep research on it. He didn't find one, I don't believe.
No, this would be the first.
So they're having a prediction on which one could ruin the streak, like which one would not go in the top 10 of Ohio State guys, which one could slip.
Okay.
And he'll reveal that next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Big voice guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
What big flavor?
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows and get four free plus an extra 10% off from windownation.com.
All right, TLC, tell the folks what you and your good time buddies have been chatting about.
You got your own committee or something? Like, you know.
Yeah, we have our own selection committee. Yeah. But we discussed on the show yesterday, so I'm trying to, I guess I took the job home, apparently.
Very nice.
Okay. So,
wait, let me give you one. Hang on.
Very proud of you. That's very nice.
Thank you. So we discussed in the show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we discussed in the show yesterday that should the Buckeyes have four players drafted in the top 10 this year, this would be the first time ever, according to GPT, that one school would have four players drafted in the top 10 in the same draft. And so it's the number three has happened a couple times. The Buckeyes had it with Bosa went three, Zeke went four, and Eli Apple went 10. So they've hit the three mark, but nobody has ever surpassed that. So if Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, Carnell Tate, if all four of those guys go in the top 10, that would be draft history. And so I had the thought of, okay, well, almost every single mock draft has all four of those guys going to the top 10. Who's going to be the one? Who's going to be the one to ruin history if this happens? And so I floated it out there, and I only got a few of my buddies because they eventually started. There were so many topics going in and out. So there were four responses, including myself, so not that much traction. But between the four of us, we had three different answers. First of all, who do you think was the one person who was left alone?
Arvel Reese.
That is correct.
I agree. So we're looking for the one that your homies believe will not go in the top 10.
That means that I said somebody, one friend said somebody else, and then two friends said another person. Or how do you feel about that?
I'm going back and forth between two guys.
My gut is saying Caleb. And that's not because I don't think he's going to be a dude. I just think the premium positions of pass rusher with Arvel, Sonny with his ability to not only play at the second level, but based off his history of being a safety too. Like, he was making comments about how he thinks he can do some Kyle Hamilton things in the league. And like, I kind of agree with that because he's played at a high level at both. And then, so it's Carnell and Caleb. Were those the two that you were torn between?
No.
No. So you have a different
Mine were
Sonny
and Caleb.
And Caleb.
Yeah. Okay. It maybe you wouldn't get one. And I, you know, after Sonny did what he did, becoming the freak at the combine, it kind of changed everything. But I think Caleb, this all goes to personality of teams and their needs. This isn't on the individual guy. So hear us correctly. It really isn't.
Yeah, all these guys are dudes.
Because I think if you ask yourself the question, best player on the board, I think a lot of these GMs might lean a little bit towards Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's their tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny gives you a lot of versatility, like you say. Not a massive sample size on knowing for sure what he's going to truly be and excel at. So, with that being said, I think I talked myself into Sonny if there was one being outside 10. But I still think the favorite is for all four of them to go inside. Carnell, he's just been looked at as the top guy, but here's the other thing with him. We've had even our guy, Tyvus Powell, if we told him, okay, you get one receiver, he wasn't taking him.
There is,
based on the fit for the Browns or what he felt
100%, he needed, right? Like, there's a lot of Jordan Tyson supporters out there.
Kyle Lemon.
The worry with Tyson is just the injury stuff, right? And his ability to just be healthy all the time, which is, look, in question with any of these guys playing this sport. But yeah, for all four of these guys, I think top 15 is an absolute lock for all four. But I think where we're talking about, it makes the conversation fun when it comes to the top 10.
All right, so I'm going to say my answer, if I was invited into your chat, and if he was invited into your chat,
it would blow up your phone all day long.
Then I would say
I've got that.
I'm going to err on Sonny.
Okay.
Who are you going with?
I'll go Caleb.
Yeah. And who did you say?
I said Carnell.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
As the board,
so we just did your chat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We left Arvel alone. So we are the chat. You don't even need to be in the chat. We are the chat right here.
He's a top five lock.
And what's interesting though is you can make a case,
which is funny because I think he's gonna be the worst.
That Arvel has the most gray area with what he's gonna be. Of the four, right? Like, Caleb's going to be a beast at safety.
They're all pretty specific.
Are we 100% sure that he's going to be an elite pass rusher or good? Like, that's...
I'm not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's more gray
area
with him.
I'm not freaking out about the video of him trying to run around the...
little ring thing that Larry Johnson had up there.
Tackling dummy.
Yeah. So that's what's interesting, Ayers. As we talk through this, you come back to Arvel and it's like, okay... Like, are we sure?
But as the board lines up right now, my thing with Carnell Tate is that it seems like it could be Browns or nothing. Like, if he slips past six, that's where I wonder if the Browns prefer another receiver who takes him.
I don't think Kansas City would let Carnell Tate pass at nine.
Yeah.
I also don't. I think the Saints would be interested, too. I think they need more playmakers.
It
kind of depends on the way the board falls.
And trades are always possible.
If there's some reason that Bailey gets leapfrogged by Arvel, like, then all of a sudden maybe the Saints see Bailey sitting there at nine and say, now wait a minute. the value's too good.
And to your point, I like that you brought that up. They've got some weird stuff going on with Cameron Jordan. I know we just talked about Jordan Cameron the other day, but Cameron Jordan, he hasn't officially retired yet, right? But I don't think he's all in.
No, he's just old
with coming back either. So I like that you brought up the Saints.
I just think the Saints, who can't get after the quarterback, if they saw a guy who was the best at doing that in college football this year, they would say, we got to take him.
Yeah.
But no, to your point,
Reuben Bain is somewhere in there.
As far as being taken?
Yeah, just
that's going to be a tough decision to make.
There's another one there, too.
I think he's the guy that's
Washington
has the highest potential to slide the most in the first round. Because you don't want to be the GM that takes Reuben Bain, that's going against history with guys with that short of arms, and then be the...
But he has violent hands. Short arms and violent hands.
But you don't want to be the
great
GM
combination
that everybody's saying, I told you so. You went against history, and the guys with that arm length haven't been highly productive. So I think he's got a chance to really slide in this trap. But going back to Carnell, I don't think the Chiefs would pass up on him at 9, TLC, if he's there. Because Rashee Rice, can you really count on him? Xavier Worthy's...
Hey, free four, I'm
told.
They
got... The good news for them is they've got Kelce coming back for one more year. Like, they don't...
Like, that makes all the difference.
I think that adds...
I don't know. They were talking about Sadiq. And
Kenyon Sadiq?
Yeah, like, if Travis would have retired, they might have been tempted to take Sadiq.
You would have to think about that. But I think you brought in Kenneth Walker. Yeah. They need more. And so, like, if I'm Carnell, I'm like, hell yeah. I'll go to Kansas City at night.
If I were him, I'd sign up for that, too.
Absolutely.
If you asked him right now, lie detector, hook him up. You're going 6 to the Browns or 9 to the Chiefs.
It's
not even close.
It's not even close.
I don't think he could admit it publicly.
I think you could ask a quarterback that question, and they might take the Chiefs.
Well, one did. Justin Fields. All right, we're coming back with a deep dive. We'll do a top of the hour, and we'll get after the story that we've kind of been wanting to talk about for a while. There is an overwhelming favorite for NFL Coach of the Year. Is he the right one? Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Working your way through that... Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The men's Sweet 16 starts tonight with St. John's and Duke at 7:10, then Alabama and Michigan, Michigan State and UConn, then Tennessee and Iowa State. Here to the Fans starting at 8. Women's Sweet 16, Notre Dame and Vanderbilt start the day at 2:30, then North Carolina and UConn, followed by Minnesota and UCLA, and Duke and LSU. NBA tonight, Cavs host the Heat at 7:30, and in baseball, Reds are off while the Guardians visit the Mariners at 9:45. Tonight, the Clippers open at the Iowa Cubs at 8:08 for the first of a three-game set. Looking to the weekend in the NHL, Blue Jackets return home to host the Sharks Saturday at 5, then the Bruins Sunday at 5. UFL, the Columbus Aviators start their inaugural year at the Orlando Storm Sunday night at 8. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, but a best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Topics. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care.
All right, final hour of the program, Austin Ward. We'll talk Buckeyes spring ball with him at 2:30. I do want to bring this up before we get to the NFL Coach of the Year, and I promise we will. Because this hit me as far as the NCAA tournament goes in the Sweet 16, and this really puts it into perspective on where we are with the heavyweights that we have in this tournament now. And the fact that we had no Cinderella, we had no mid-major, even though Texas, from a seed standpoint, would qualify as a Cinderella, you can't have the richest budget in college athletics and be called a Cinderella. But this is the first time in 72 years that this Sweet 16 does not include four heavyweights. Think about that for a second. We have one of the most top-heavy tournaments we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
No Cinderella. And it still doesn't include four of the most massive brands in the sport. Mm-hmm. Kansas, Kentucky, UCLA, and Carolina. All right. So 1954 was, so this for the first Sweet 16 since 1954 that doesn't include those four teams.
You have to love that.
The last 72 years. Now, the difference is that this may be the full definition of where we are NIL-wise and the transfer portal and how these teams are being put together. Mm-hmm. Now, you think those four brands would always win, that there's nothing they can't buy, there's nothing they can't do. But if you go, like, Peterson backfired for Kansas. I thought he'd flip the switch in the tournament. He did a little bit. I had no reason to believe that he would sit out and do what he did in the regular season.
I think it backfired for now, but I don't think it's going to backfire as far as when he represents that brand in the NBA, right? And he hears himself called as a top five pick or whatever that's going to look like. That is a nice little, I think, consolation prize for them out there. Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that out there. And then, by the way, the best teams, the one thing I do love about this tournament is the best teams don't always win the natty. Some people like that. Some people don't. I don't like it being predictable, and it hasn't been. Houston lost last night to Illinois. And since 2021, the last 5 years, the team that has won the most NCAA tournament games has been the Houston Cougars. And UConn is next, then Duke, then Gonzaga, then Bama.
Houston's a no-doubt powerhouse now. At this point, that's just what they are. Calvin Sampson has built an absolute machine over the last few years.
But Bama and Purdue, those teams have a lot of tournament wins, but they don't have a natty. Like, they don't have one. Like, not anything recent that you could ever remember. So that's the beauty of this tournament. So I guess this year, to kind of put a bow on it, actually has the best of all worlds in a way. It really does. It has big brands that didn't advance. We had some fun in the first couple rounds. Not a ton.
You'd be more excited, though, if we had a little Sister Jean energy going on with the team. One or two of those for AR. That's the world you'd like to live in, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people with you.
I like when the little guy that you've never heard of goes up against the big boy and makes them a little nervous. And there's free money and it's house money. And whether that's a Long Island or a High Point or a, you know, I don't know, there's California Baptist or whatever.
George Mason.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I just wanted to put a perspective on the tournament that as heavyweight as we have, and we have no mid-majors, the four biggest brands in the sport are watching with us now. They're done. And
they're watching with us.
It's wild. All right.
In Cancun.
That's right.
By the way, I think
I can afford it.
I think I cracked the code. Yeah, no kidding. I think I cracked the code last week on what the sweet spot is with the Cinderellas, because the upsets are fun for the first weekend. But as the tournament goes on, there are fewer games to play. And so that's why if you get to the Final Four and you have an 11 seed in there with a bunch of ones and twos, that's half of your day that you can just wash away, because there are only two games in the Final Four. And so it's like, all right, so we got this Goliath versus Goliath in a one versus a one. And then the other game is going to be something like a two seed versus an 11. And it's like, okay, I already know that team's going to get killed.
What was the Butler seed in 2011 when they were an eight?
I believe.
Is that the Gordon Hayward squad?
Yes. By the way, a half court buzzer beater rimmed out, or they win the game. Nobody thought Butler was going to hang with Duke in that game. And they did. So
they had a pro, though.
They did, but they barely got past Old Dominion in the first round.
That helps is when you have a guy like that, for sure.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, you do have a pro on a Cinderella, then you have a really fun time.
Absolutely.
Which they did. All right, so there's an overwhelming favorite for the NFL Coach of the Year, and it's not who you think of.
Maybe it was a five seed.
Who, Butler?
Yeah.
No, I think they were an eight.
I think
2011?
I think they were an eight. Oh, the next year they were an eight.
Yeah.
So no, because they went back-to-back years to the championship.
They did. The Gordon Hayward buzzer beater.
That was a five.
I could have sworn that was an eight.
The eight was the next year when Kemba Walker beat him.
Yeah.
How about this? So it was an eight. They played an 11 seed VCU team. So their path to the championship in the Final Four was an 8 versus an 11.
What was the year that they almost lost to Old Dominion in the first round?
That
was that 11 or 12?
No, that was 11. So they were in an 8-9 game, and they won by 2 points. And they lost the championship.
Yeah. That's what I love about it.
And Gordon Hayward wasn't on that team, I don't think.
Survive in advance. But that was Brad Stevens, right?
That sounds correct.
Yeah,
that sounds correct.
Amazing. They are. Those are the stories that I love.
Which, by the way, Brad Stevens' career is so interesting to me. The Butler years that you're referencing, coaching with the Boston Celtics, and then being like, hey, you know what? I'm good on this coaching thing. I'm just going to go be the GM for the Boston Celtics and help us win a championship there. Dude's a basketball wizard at this point.
They weren't even the one seed in their own Horizon League Conference tournament.
Everything you're saying is promoting how great this tournament is. Everything. It's so unpredictable.
It really is.
Was. It isn't anymore.
You're not going to have a Horizon League playing the national championship anymore.
Yeah, those days are gone.
You're the one who's nullifying Texas as being an underdog. Yeah. It's like, you got all this money. I don't care.
Well, they're not. They're a Cinderella from a seed standpoint, but not from a brand standpoint.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I still would think that they would probably have better players than even, I hate the
football school.
Yeah. Well,
Well,
wait, look, everybody would be a football school if they could.
They're more football than basketball, but it's...
The only schools that get called basketball schools are schools that aren't good enough at football. And let me tell you, it's not because they chose basketball. They would like to be good at football, too. They're just not. Kansas.
Bama is the 50-50 lemon-lime team right now. With on both sides, they can mess around and win natties.
Like Indiana.
Well, I told you guys yesterday real quickly, Bama was the only team to make the Sweet 16 that also made the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. Now, they looked awful against Indiana, but
they still
Indiana
made it.
Won it all, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But people have been calling, Indiana was a basketball school. Now they're both. It's like,
they're not both.
All right, now they're a football school because the basketball, obviously, they didn't even make the tournament.
They haven't lost their will to want to be great at basketball.
Yeah, I don't think
they haven't thrown in the towel on that.
Natty in football doesn't wipe away the history of the basketball program. They're still a basketball program until proven otherwise. Mm.
I think that's been proven.
They'd rather.
They're okay.
I bet you their fans would rather be a football school.
Now, this is nothing. This is nothing they could have ever imagined.
I'm saying
why they would think that way.
I'm saying every single school wishes that they were a football school.
When you have such a rich history of doing something, I don't think a 2-year window completely wipes all of that away.
It's easy.
I don't think that's where we're at with Indiana.
It's easy to be a basketball school when you've sucked at football for 60 years.
Yes. This is something they could never even imagine.
I agree with what you're saying, but that logo to me is still recognized as a basketball logo. We're not there with football
But I'm saying they'd rather be a football school.
I don't know that.
I'm saying everybody would rather be a football school.
Probably so.
They haven't won a natty in basketball in 40 years.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't think people look at that Indiana logo and think, oh, that's a powerhouse football program yet. We're not.
It's been a year and a half of good play for them.
But 2 years.
In this era, when you get to the top of the mountain in that sport, at that school, I told you guys this. It doesn't matter anymore. They want to be good, and they'll continue to be good. They're paying a coach the most money ever. They have to be good. They have to at least be very competitive and be a contender. Their line now is playoff or bust.
So if Bill Belichick wins a national championship at North Carolina, they're a football program now?
Currently.
But no, because Carolina has had such more recent success in basketball.
I'm not even really baking the success. I'm talking about the history of that brand.
I'm just saying every fan base and probably every administration would rather be good at football than good at basketball. If it's one or the other. I'm sure everyone would love to be great at both.
Yeah, but like Maddie's saying, when you've been good at one for a, that's been where you hang your hat, and the other one's just been a garbage dumpster fire.
But I'm saying that any school that is being labeled a basketball school is being labeled as such because they weren't good at football, and it's not because they just threw away football.
A one-off doesn't change, I think, the identity of that program.
Here's the difference between what Maddie brought up Carolina. That's fine. Is why I don't think it's a comp. If Belichick were to win one there, it's because Carolina's won 4 natties in basketball since Indiana's won one. They've won 4.
I hear that. Yeah, I hear that.
That's
but
fine.
To me,
Like, it's still, North Carolina would still be, in my mind, a basketball school.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Not just, you know.
Saying Indiana's a football school is just a fun little moniker to sell t-shirts. It's an awesome story, and no one could have ever seen that coming.
Yeah.
That's why it's up there in all the great upsets in the history of sport, even though they weren't technically a Cinderella. They were a very good team.
Here's what I'm
saying. The program was.
I agree with what you're saying, TLC, because when it comes to revenue, of course you're going to pick football and what they can do.
Being labeled a basketball school is a consolation prize for not being good enough at football to be respected.
I don't know. There's a lot of pride in being very good in college basketball.
Yeah.
You own the month of March. It's a big deal.
I don't think Duke is, the administration is wishing that they would be so much better at football. I think they're good with what they
don't?
Are. No.
I think your argument is different. I think
not
your argument
all.
Is, would you rather be good at both?
Yeah,
or
of course.
Elite in one?
Good at both.
And when I mean good in both, I mean where you're challenging, but you're not winning titles. You're just always there.
I think you'd rather be elite at one, and I think you'd rather be elite at football.
Yes, I think football is where it all is, but I think if you have a chance to be good in both.
Michigan's a one seed right now. No one's calling them a basketball school because they're too good at football to be labeled a basketball school. Basketball school means you suck at football and you're only good at basketball. That's what that means.
Probably.
Yeah. Kansas, UCLA, UConn, basketball schools.
But that's not a problem for them, though. You're making it seem like they're upset about being that. And I don't think they are.
Yeah, they're not. If they're winning natties in basketball, they're not. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back and we'll shift back to your guy, the coach.
Oh.
I've only teased it 84 times. We probably should get to it. That's next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Wake up with the Fan. Eat lunch with the Fan. Go to bed with the Fan. Dream about the Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
You're cooling. How many different ways can you consume morning juice? Let's see. Live on YouTube, live on the Fan's HD3 podcast on demand, and on 10TV Plus. And we'll send Bobby right to your house.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are tracking drier conditions later on today, and it will be a cooler one with highs only in the 44 this afternoon. We'll see highs of around 46 degrees with winds out of the north at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Heading into the weekend, we're tracking more sunshine and some quieter conditions here around. We'll see highs in the 40s on Saturday, into the upper 50s to near 60 here by Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
I got to tell you, I was a little surprised at this. The NFL Coach of the Year race, usually when we try to identify it, it's really not, you don't go after like who's the best coach in the league. What you have to really identify is who could make the leap, who could take a team that was maybe poor the year before or average to excellence, right? Now, if you're supposed to be very good and you are very good, then you should still be very eligible.
Like, yeah, because like, we were bringing up, it was Sean Payton. We were bringing him up at the end of the year to where the year before they were solid. Yeah. And then this year they ended up being 14-3. And it's like, why doesn't Sean Payton deserve to be the guy? This was a fun coach of the year race this season, right? With what was happening in Jacksonville, Braves out there in New England. And so there's a lot of good candidates. And then Ben Johnson as well. And so now this year it is going to be fascinating to see what we get in. It's usually, to your point, AR, the guy that kind of feels like he's doing more with less.
Well,
you know, I don't know if that's right.
Or the guy that's doing a lot more than the team did the year prior.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he is where he is. This is not to take anything away from him, but the overwhelming favorite right now is John Harbaugh of the New York Giants. And when I saw Harbaugh, I first thought, Jim. Not John, because basically what you think of the Chargers maybe making a run. Here's why. The New York football Giants went 4-13 last year. Mm-hmm. And now they have John Harbaugh. So he enters 2026 as the overwhelming betting favorite because he fits the suit. He fits the formula.
Yeah.
He's a veteran coach. He's taking over a 4-win football team. There's so much room for improvement. They've gone through the revolving door of coaches. He could settle it down. If John Harbaugh goes 9-8 this year, he could win the award.
No question.
That'd be a 5-win improvement. And his track record is strong, so he's already got instant credibility. So even if he fell into the one-hit wonder category, people wouldn't, and he doesn't. So if he does something great, they'll think it's truly legit, not just a fluke, because he has the resume to back it up.
He, no question, has that AR, and he's got a chance to hit the ground running because of the record that you mentioned. They're going to have a last-place schedule this year, and he's got a quarterback people believe in. And so a lot of this is going to be dependent on, I think, what they can get right away from Malik Nabers with him coming back from that injury. They've got defensive pieces that are ready to go. They've got a top-5 pick, so if they hit that and get a guy that can come out of the gate swinging as well, then obviously that would be ideal for them. But that's why the Giants had to be very appealing, not only to Harbaugh, but to a lot of these guys that were looking for a new job. Yeah, you got to deal with the New York media and all of that, but at the end of the day, all they care about is the roster and the talent that they have to deal with. And so the Giants are one of those teams that may not be very far off if Jackson Dart can continue to build off of the flashes that we saw from the dude last year.
Here's the irony.
Yeah.
The team he left is the second betting favorite.
Minter is coming?
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
The fact that the two guys, so Minter's the second betting favorite. So he's right behind Harbaugh, and he's taking over that roster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys had a, what was your record last year? 8-9 That's disappointing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Based off of the expectations, you had the Lamar injuries and all that stuff going on. So that played a factor into that. But I think when you look at what we just said about Harbaugh and why Vegas looks at Minter as the second favorite, it's because they think the Ravens can mess around and get to an AFC mm-hmm. championship game, or maybe even get to a Super Bowl with the way that they've been kind of rocking and rolling the last few years. And so, yeah, he's in a situation where when you talk about pressure, there's so much more pressure on Minter right now than there is Harbaugh in year one, just because the bar is lower, obviously, out there in Gotham City than it is in Maryland.
I feel like there's some value on the third guy.
All right, who we got?
Robert Saleh.
Xerxes?
Because the fact that the team he takes over in Tennessee won 3 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they can jump from the bottom to somewhere being a playoff contender, that should get a lot of people's attention.
They spent a lot of money this offseason, right? They had a whole bunch of cap space, did that. We'll see. Are they a team that wants to add Jeremiah Love to this mix and help out Cam Ward? I'm in on Cam Ward and what I think he will be. And so I do think that year 2 leap is coming for him. I also like the addition of Brian Daboll. Speaking of the Giants, right? He comes over there now to Nashville, and he's going to be their offensive coordinator. So I think he'll be in good hands over there as well. And so, yeah, I'm not mad at Saleh as well.
The guy that
Brian Daboll. Yeah,
the guy that probably can't win it unless he wins the division, which he probably could or should, would be Joe Brady, because he's 12-1 and he doesn't need to be a turnaround guy. Like, he doesn't have to take a team and turn it around. They were 12-5 last year. Right. What could he do to win Coach of the Year? He'd have to win the AFC East.
Yes. Yes.
He'd have to overtake New England. Now, that would be good because New England made it to the Super Bowl. So that would actually be something for him. But he's got no turnaround effect. The other guy that would be not worth the odds, because he's also 12-1, would probably be TLC's guy.
Big Mike?
Big Mike would be on the list. Big Mike's team won the division. That doesn't set up to win Coach of the Year.
Why'd you have to remind me of that? Because now I'm thinking about that field goal that didn't go in.
The bet that wasn't paid off.
Just Aaron Rodgers just dicing us up. Like, I was it Tyler Loop? Yeah, that's him. How do you miss that?
Matty,
how do you miss
you're talking to a guy who's the fan of a team of a field goal kicker that made every single kick in one season, yeah. Didn't miss one until we were up 7 mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter, driving in an NFC championship game, and then missed.
Who, Blair Walsh?
The Blair Walsh Project? No, that was when it was like a cinder block when we were playing outdoors against Seattle. But you're right, that kick was nothing, but it was also like 20 below. No, I'm talking about Gary Anderson against Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's what I've been dealing with.
Oh, I hear you. But currently, your boy's been going through it. I'm 2 years in a row where it's pain. The Buffalo game.
Talk about the pain.
Mark Andrews catching the easiest pass of his life. And then the next year, you go into a division rival's house with a chance to win the division. And just,
well,
just didn't happen, man.
Justin Tucker went to the Deshaun Watson School of Therapy.
He wasn't good the year before
allegedly,
either.
You had a Hall of Fame kicker. I mean, for all those years.
He was on his way. He was.
By the way.
He was.
That's what you're paying for.
Oh,
you had the
of what
best
he is.
For so long.
Yeah.
And finally.
Being a fan is sick stuff, man. It is sick stuff. And right now I'm going through it. I'd rather be a team that's not even in the mix than deal with this pain.
We can pick you another team. Why don't you go to the Orange and Fudge?
What would you say?
You love those colors.
If I had to pick a team to rock with, though, on the NFC side of things.
But it has to be a bottom feeder.
All right, does Washington count? Because I'd want to be a Jaden Daniels fan.
They won five games. They're kind of they've been competing. I don't know if that counts as a true bottom feeder. I think you'd have to be either a...
Not a lot to pick from when you look at the records from last year.
Arizona.
That's my team.
That's his team. They're already taking.
Okay, so you're taking.
Well, my coach. My cousin goes to coaches.
You'd have to be maybe a... I think you might climb aboard the Falcons train, even though there's no real quarterback
Stefanski.
There. I think you might like that. The Dirty Birds. You're a big hot Atlanta guy.
I'm rocking with Washington. Me and Timmy Hall.
So if you got to pick one team, you and Timmy going on some road trips together.
Side. Yeah.
Driving to games, hanging out.
You just like quarterbacks with very involved mothers?
Is she like officially his agent? Is that what this is?
Oh, no. I was thinking like Lamar's mom is his agent, right?
Yes, and Jane
Daniels'
mom
is just
pretty
everywhere.
Maybe Maddie just wants to hang out with the moms. Maybe that's why he's doing this.
Happy International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
I'm planning on proving that. We're coming back in 2 minutes with our friend Austin Ward talking about the Buckeyes and spring ball and where the focus is now. Rothman and
Kroger.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, pro day in the books. And a lot of eyes were on those Buckeyes, past and present. Our guy, including Austin Ward, with us now on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. You were in that mix, correct?
I was there, sir.
All right. Describe it for me. I've been to many of them. You describe it to our listeners, what it's like to be on that indoor field with that collective administration from the NFL and past and current Buckeye greats.
Yeah. You know, Anthony, I think there was a time in... I don't know. Maybe I was spoiled. Maybe Ohio State needed to alter the way the pro day works. Maybe, you know, I don't know, some combination of both of those things. But if you'd asked me 7 or 8 years ago if I would have been excited to go to pro day or then to be on the other side having covered it and still thought it was just a very unique and enjoyable experience, I would have thought that was a little bit foolish. But Ohio State, Mickey Marotti, Ryan Day, Quinn Temple, it's not just that there are elite NFL talents on the field, as you mentioned, both past and present being back in the Woody, and then seeing all the dignitaries from current NFL head coaches, general managers, scouts being in the building. But the way that it is run has turned into a celebration of Ohio State football, an event for Ohio State football, and it's become very cool to be in there. So that, you know, from the moment you walk in on Wednesday morning this week, you know, the doors are open for everybody in there to go do what they need to do. You've got, you know, the food and beverage set out for them. Not for us. The media doesn't need that, but we're secondary or even lower in the pecking order for that. But, you know, you just the way it's so efficiently run where you're looking in one corner and you're seeing a drill being run over here, your guys in the weight room, and a stream of people walking up to talk to Ryan Day about his current team, about the state of college football, about Jeremiah Smith for next year. I know I'm only scratching the surface of it, but I think it's more of like the feeling that you get is that Ohio State has turned its pro day into an event that, for me, I've covered it and the combine. Like, nothing can ever duplicate the scale of what goes on in Indianapolis, but for a singular school's pro day, and I've covered others, I have a hard time saying that anybody does it better than Ohio State.
Love that. Alston, let's lock in on Arthur Smith, Ryan Day, and how this offense is going to come together. Because I always think it's very fascinating when you have a guy like Ryan Day, who's obviously the head honcho of this program, but then you have a former NFL head coach who's coming in with a pretty strong resume as well, right? And so, like, there's always going to be some ego involved, and these guys have done so much that they should have a bit of an ego. But what's your understanding of these two guys coming together and trying to throw out the best product on offense and how that process is coming along?
Yeah, I think, Maddie, that it's been really interesting to see that dynamic play out. Ohio State's had four practices. They will be on the field again tomorrow for number five. We talked to Arthur Smith on Tuesday, and we had a chance to chat with him a little bit off the record. Anthony was at that event before camp started as well, where I don't know that there is a tremendous amount of ego for Arthur Smith involved. And I think the counterpoint to that is that Ryan Day knows that he needs to be in the CEO capacity. And so I would have thought when this process started in December and January and Ryan Day was thinking about what he needed, the targets that would be on the wish list and what the offense would look like, there was a lot of conversation, you know, sort in the Woody about, well, the passing attack is always going to be fine as long as Ryan Day is there, Billy Fessler, Keenan Bailey still being involved. But I think that Arthur Smith is going to have more influence over both the run game and the passing attack than I thought. Now, that doesn't mean you're throwing out what works, because Ryan Day is still a resource and a major asset. If he was a full-time offensive coordinator in college football, he would still be the best one in the country. But he doesn't need to be involved in that. And I think he's increasingly realized that over the last couple of years. Last year probably didn't work out the exact way that he would have envisioned. 2 years ago was the ideal, and it wound up with a national championship. And I think in some ways Arthur Smith is the next step from Chip Kelly, in that Chip Kelly and Ryan Day, with the mentor-mentee relationship, we're always going to see, I think, eye-to-eye and share a lot of similar philosophies. I think Arthur Smith is going to bring in some new things, and probably more than I thought he would, Maddie.
He is the one and only Alston Ward with us, Ohio State football beat reporter, and we are discussing Ohio State's depth here. I want to ask you about the spring narrative about the running back situation, was that Legend Bay was going to have a chance to really show himself based on availability and unavailability from the others. This is Bo Jackson's job, I technically, to lose, but how much of a committee approach could we see, or is this going to be completely lead dog mentality this year?
I think Carlos Lachlan wants multiple backs involved. I think Ryan Day, you know, he referenced a number of times, Anthony, as last year progressed, the way that Travion and Quinshon not only fed off of each other, but also the explosiveness that both provided. And I don't know that, you know, even with Arthur Smith, if we're going to lean back on his background, and he talked on Tuesday about, well, I don't think you can give Derrick Henry the football enough times. Yes, that's true. But I think it in the college game, especially, but increasingly you see it at the NFL level as well, you need to be able to rely on two backs, not just to get through a season, but often to get through a game healthy and fresh and as explosive as you want to be. So I do think Bo Jackson, he's recovering from an injury. We saw what he could do as a true freshman. He's going to be at the top of that heap. But the competition, I think, to be number two or number three is going to be really fascinating once we get more to August. Now, there's opportunity right now for Turbo Rogers, for Legend Bay. Jacoby Jackson is healthy, the transfer from Florida. That's a grown man, by the way, seventh year of college football, and it shows just the way that he moves around in the Woody. All those guys are going to vie for that, and I think, you know, Carlos Lachlan would make his best interest to give anybody touches that has earned them. I think Legend Bay is the most interesting part of that conversation because of the way Ohio State is talking about him, where it's Tyreek Hill comparisons, it's Curtis Samuel comparisons. Every time I go in the Woody, somebody compares him to a different Ohio State legend or NFL standout, and I can't recall it ever really being at the level that it's been for Legend Bay. I don't want to get too far out over my skis on that, but It's a lot of noise that you can't ignore, and I think one way or another, Ohio State's definitely going to find ways to use him, but everything ultimately will be built around Bo.
There you go. Great stuff, my man. Appreciate you, as always. You know we'll check in with you soon. Thanks, Austin.
Can't wait, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Austin Ward, our friend, covering Ohio State football, Letterman Row here at The Fan, and also with Berm doing all the great recruiting stuff.
Folks, I really want you to lock in right now if you're looking for a new vehicle, because I want to direct you to the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion. My family up there at the McDaniel GM Superstore is ready and waiting to get your family, or maybe just you, ready to get out there on the streets in a brand new car that you are going to love. They have over 200 new vehicles on their website as we speak, so check them out. They have a 26 Silverado 1500. You can lease that thing for $279 a month for 24 months with only $3,998 due at signing, or you can save up to $12,000 off MSRP if you finance. Terms and restrictions apply. They've been doing this for over 100 years up there at the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion. So don't mess around. Take the trip up there. It is absolutely worth it. Again, the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion is the place to be if you're looking for a new car. Chevrolet together. Let's drive. Right now, we promised it earlier, we're going to deliver right now on a catering package from Hothead Burritos that's going to feed 20 people. So we're going to give away two of these things right now here on Rothman and I. 614-821-9710 is the phone number. Here is the question that you have to have the correct answer.
One person isn't winning 40 of them.
No.
Okay.
They're not. Right. Earlier, our guy AR broke some news here on Rothman and Ice. What was the news our man AR broke? 614-821-9710 is TLC's hotline number. You get it right, two people are going to get a Hothead Burritos catering package that, again, is going to feed 20 people.
As long as two of them aren't us.
Right.
All right. We're coming back with that, and we'll tell the truth. Rothman and Ice on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T.com.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, The Fan app, and YouTube, whew, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
TLC, was your question answered correctly?
Yes, it was. It was answered correctly by Tim in Delaware and Sexy Fletch.
Wait a minute.
Fletch lives?
Is that what they wanted you to say? Because I love that. Did they really say this is Sexy Fletch?
That was his email address.
I mean, if Sexy Fletch is having a burrito party.
I love it.
Sounds like a winner.
Wait, so you're saying our two winners are
Tim in Delaware
and
Sexy Fletch.
Okay, I'm here for it.
Shout out to them. So they both knew about the Tiger Woods news breaking here.
Yep.
All right.
And for the folks that didn't catch that earlier, AR, what is that news?
That the United States Golf Association confirmed to me earlier today that Tiger Woods has signed up.
What a pompous.
I had to source it. Why is he always against his own teammates? Why is he that guy?
No, I just think he likes to call you out for something.
You did that on purpose.
What do you mean on purpose? I was sourcing it.
You douched that up on purpose.
My goodness. This is unbelievable.
He's trying to take off from the top rope on you real quick. I love when you flex on us, AR. Because you know I'm always trying to hype you up anyway.
The reporting game is a nasty game. A lot of egos in that industry.
The story is that Tiger wants to play at Scioto for the U.S. Senior on July 4th weekend. He may or not play. It might be the tease that's the big tease.
And who
see how he's feeling.
And who are your sources?
No one's sharing anything.
Don't get shy
now. Over now.
Don't get shy now because of him. Talk your talk, AR. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's it. Fine.
See what you did to him, TLC.
For the good of the game.
See what you did to my boy over here, man.
I'm doing this for the good of the game. USGA.
There we go.
I
4:30. Cam Schlittler.
Ooh, I like him.
Robbie Ray.
I like him.
Do we have any nerf ability with Yankees Dodgers? Or not Yankees Dodgers, Yankees Giants.
He's been awesome.
I'm still not comfortable enough to say his name live on the air yet.
Yeah, it's
close. I'm not there. I need more reps in the lab on that one. I don't trust myself just yet.
Just call him Cam S.
Yeah, there we go.
Schlittler.
Yeah, I like doing it. I mean, the Nerfy's great. It's the same reason that I do the both teams not to score in the first 10 minutes of a hockey game. Mm-hmm. One team could be up 4-0. As long as both teams don't score, I win the bet. Okay. And I do them all the time, and I'm just watching the clock. I mean, just get through the first 10 minutes. The one thing you can't have in a both teams not score in the first 10 minutes of a hockey game, you don't want a power play. Obviously, it makes it easier for that team to score, and then if they do, you get a quick pushback, and now you're a little bit on edge. But if you can just play 5-on-5 for the first 10 minutes, you usually can get out of there with both teams not scoring.
I'm going Nerfy in the Kansas City Royals with cheese and Atlanta Braves game. Cole Reagans for the Royals, Chris Sale, Crafty Vet still kicking. Yeah, I'm going with that one. Mm-hmm. Nerfy in that game.
I'm
going
to go heavy on Nerfy today just because it was so blah yesterday. And yesterday was the day to do it, and I really didn't. Yeah. I did lose on one, Pods and Tigers. But I'm going back in.
All right.
Yep.
So a personality at the Score in Chicago has labeled tomorrow's game for the Cubs as a must-win statement game because they lost the first game to the Nationals and they were already planning on winning 95 games, but now it's down to 94 because they lost what they thought was going to be a gimme guaranteed game. So how do you feel about game number 2 out of 162 being labeled a must-win statement game?
Oh, man. Nonsense. That's what I think that is. Absolute nonsense, AR.
The only reason you lean into like that it was a dud is because you're kind of leaning into the pitching might be their toughest problem, you know, starting pitching. They're still an awesome team, and I think they should be just fine. And if they want to panic after opening day, first of all, I've been there at opening days at Wrigley. It's usually like going to a Bear game. It's like 40 degrees usually. I don't know what it was yesterday. It might have been okay, but
it was like mid-50s.
I mean, it's, yeah, they'll be fine. I'm sure that was said in jest.
I would hope. Yeah.
Julian saying, James Peoples, C.J. Donaldson, Bo Jackson, Kenyatta Jackson.
And the other players on the roster.
What was he talking about?
Can you read us the roster?
I don't know. It is National Respect Your Cat Day. Do cats come anywhere close to dogs as pets?
100% yes. 100%.
Can they though? Because they're so
no
individualized with not needing you. I like the dog aspect of give me some love.
They're independent.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, we have two, and they're awesome. And they have personalities, and they're so loving. No, they're not. One does actually come to the door when I come home.
Oh, that's, I like that. I like that.
The other is probably sleeping under a bed somewhere. But they do when they need their attention on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
They are awesome, and I hate honestly. It really bugs me when people ask, and I get it. I'm a realist. Are you a dog guy or cat guy or that kind of person? But I always, like, why wouldn't you be both? Like, if you're wired to love animals, if you are that person, and I know you can lean one way or the other, and you know how much I feel about dogs, but I'm telling you, I think it's too bad that it's thought of this way.
You're not going to like this take from me. So I'm going to preface with that. You're not going to like this. But I don't think skinless cats are needed on this planet. They are the creepiest.
Oh, you mean furless?
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Furless,
skinless.
I'm just thinking about the skin. Yes, that's what I was thinking about. Furless cats,
like a sphinx.
We don't need them. They creep me out more than almost any animal walking planet Earth right now.
A hairless cat.
Yeah. Skinless cat.
Jeez.
I think that's a new punishment we have to get. Yeah, stay tuned for football and felines with Ryan Day in the fall.
So what you're saying is you don't like them hairless.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Teach to zero.
Okay. Just asking.
You're asking him. You didn't ask me. And it is Sunday is National Nevada Day. How old were you the first time you went to Las Vegas?
28. 28. Hell of a time, TLC.
Reno doesn't count, does it?
No, but I guess.
The biggest little city in the world?
You can add that in for fun.
Probably went to Reno when I was 25. Vegas, probably 27. Measure yep. this.
Wow. Okay, before we go, we missed anything from my goodness.
Don't even remember what that was from, but I'm sure.
Neither do I. Okay.
Maybe it was something with the combine?
Drop it again real quick. Oh, you got it?
Yeah, hold on. Where am I? 3, 2, and 1.
Measure this.
Before we go, you missed anything from our show, right. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Common Man and Timmy, they'll take you to 6 o'clock. It is Go to Jail Friday, so do not move.
All right, and I am looking at a half empty bottle of Cavathier, which means that we are just about out of time.
No, it was my bad. I jumped you. All right. We had a great week with you guys. We appreciate you listening very much. And, of course, have an awesome, safe weekend. Enjoy. And we will talk to you again on Monday, this time at high noon.
Oh, that's right.
Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.